I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hello, place to go. 6:10 in the morning. Hi.
Place to go.
You know what?
It's
Friday, isn't it? Friday? It's Friday in Chicago. I don't know where you are. It's Friday in Chicago. And let's dance.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
I made a terrible mistake at the top of the show.
Yes,
executive producer Sandberg makes these ridiculously good chocolate chip cookies. They're super thin.
Yes.
And I took a bite of one right before I went on air.
So why is that a terrible mistake?
Well, because now I want to eat the whole cookie.
Oh, that is bad.
Yeah.
You're going to want 20 cookies all day now.
They're really good.
Somebody say cookie?
Yeah, and the thing is, Steve, I don't know if you're aware of this, and I don't know if this is a deal when you're over at BBM, because I know you guys did a lot of recipe segments. But whenever you have food on WGN, the listeners want the recipe. Sandberg, have you ever posted the recipe, or is it like a super secret, like Portillo's chocolate cake? The only one that knows that recipe is Mary Vanderbilt.
I posted that. Don't say it. Now everybody will want it again.
All the listeners are going to want, if they haven't already asked, for your super thin chocolate chip cookie recipe.
Yep. It's posted at WGNradio.com, but I'll repost it. But it's just a Martha Stewart. It's her daughter Alexis's favorite chocolate chip cookie.
They're really good.
Yeah.
There's some sort of magic ingredient in these cookies. Is there like a nut or something in there?
No. Nope.
Meth.
A pound. A pound of butter. That's the secret ingredient. A pound of butter.
Well, that's what makes them healthy. Yeah.
A pound of butter, 3.5 cups of brown sugar.
Yep.
1 cup of regular sugar.
Uh-huh.
4 eggs.
Mm-hmm. And plenty of kale, Dave.
2 teaspoons of vanilla.
Can you substitute like egg beaters fake butter for...
Listen, you could do that, but it'd save you a lot of time if you just took a big bite of your shoe.
Exactly.
No, I'll repost it, though.
Better
so
than real
those
butter.
All of the ingredients angels are made from.
It's like Sandberg gave me her brownie recipe. That thing was difficult. It was just a lot of ingredients.
I know. Well, you described making these super thin chocolate chip cookies like it's like a Bruce Willis movie when you're trying to cut the green or the red wire on a bomb. Mm-hmm. They're very delicate. It's very sensitive. You must have complete quiet in the house. No visitors, no phone calls, or the cookies aren't going to get done.
Exactly. And it takes, you have to allot about 2.5 hours because they're so thin you can only cook a few at a time. And
right.
The batch makes, like 100.
Have you thought about community ovens? You know, where you go to have their houses and you just do it that way?
I need to be in charge of quality control.
Yeah, that's a fair
as
point.
With most things in my life.
Yeah, that's
so.
A fair point. Well, thank you. Thank you, Cookie Lady.
You're welcome.
We need phone callers and, of course, a first caller for Lou's first call before Lou gets on the radio tomorrow and takes his regular calls. We have our fabulous weekly prize we give away from American Weathermakers. But, it's spring. It's finally spring. It's finally here. Consistent temperatures.
What?
Play along.
Okay.
And so we're looking for spring-type questions to Lou. What am I doing about this? What am I doing about that? Seasonal stuff, okay? I mean, if you have something else, it's fine. But that's where I'd like this to go.
Like my hostas are starting to come up.
Yes.
Is there whiny staff questions today?
Sure.
Or no?
Yeah. Yeah, if you have one, absolutely. But first, let's do the top six and six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, check your password on Twitter. All 380 million or so Twitter users got notices yesterday saying, hey, just a quick thing here. We didn't get hacked, but there was a bug that infiltrated Twitter that collected maybe all of our passwords. So if you use like the same password across all your devices, because it's hard to remember passwords, even though we've told you time and time and time again, get a password locker. It's a breeze. That way you know all your passwords. But let's say all your passwords are DaveEnnett1234. That's not that hard to hack if your name is Dave Ennett.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So here's what you need to do. You need to change your passwords, whether it's on Twitter or all of your devices. But start with Twitter. Change your password on Twitter, because we had ourselves not a hacking situation, my friend, but a bug situation. Equally bad in the world of Twitter. Any questions?
But yeah.
I already changed mine.
There's no indication, though, that anything bad has come of this, right, to this point. I mean, they're not – the Twitter people, the Twitter employees aren't taking our passwords and, like, tweeting out stuff in our names.
Well, you hope so.
No, and they've used the phrase out of an abundance of caution.
Right.
So.
Okay. Yeah, and they also said, and Sandberg's cookies are delightful. Yeah, they also threw that in there as well. So, and by the way, I need to change my password now, which was Sandberg's cookies. Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Next. Aurora named the fourth best place in the U.S. to live the American dream. For the second year in a row, Aurora, Illinois, listed in the top 10 cities of the United States where it's possible to live the American dream. This by Smart Asset, a personal finance website. I'll take this up later with Elise Glink. Because the American dream would be what? I'll give you the protocols for this particular poll. You know, just buying your own home?
Yeah, right.
But there's got to be more to it than that, right?
You would think, because you could do that lots of places.
Sure. Next! Kindergartners have fallen ill after a visit to the shed. What is going on at the shed?
I blame the animals.
Roger German left. There's been nothing but trouble.
So it wasn't the prom food, huh?
Kindergartners ill after the shed visit. Symptoms similar to the Andrew High School students who went to prom at the aquarium. And I don't think there is a kindergarten prom, so far as we know. So that's a concern, obviously, and we love the shed, and it's a very important part of this city. They got to figure that out. But what sort of thing could they have at the shed where you just walk in and you get sick?
I don't understand that.
A dead fish?
But again, you shouldn't be eating what you're seeing. That's a problem, just so we're clear. That's something the shed is obviously on and they're concerned. Next. But it's bizarre. You got to see the video of this today. Hawaii's Kilauea volcano on the Big Island erupted yesterday, sending lava shooting into the air at a residential neighborhood. There are about 1,800 people that are being evacuated. There's, I think, 700 or 800 structures that are in the risk zone. Hawaii County said steam and lava poured out of a crack in Leilani Estates, which is near the town of Pahoa on the Big Island. And the video is right out of a movie. It's crazy. But that's something we're keeping an eye on this morning. And humpback whales having a baby boom near Antarctica. Humpback whales doing a horizontal bop. Actually, I don't know how humpback whales do it.
Really.
Yeah, you know what? That could be completely wrong now that I think about it. Once hunted close to the point of extinction, they appear to be making a comeback. Females who live and breed in the southern oceans near Antarctica have a higher pregnancy rate and have given birth to more calves, according to a new study. So we got a whole bunch of humpback whales.
What is the gestation period for humpback whales?
As long as they want. As long as they want. Yeah, as long as they want, as long as they need. But did you know a humpback whale can only get pregnant on Wednesday?
I did not know that.
Because it's hump day.
Of course.
Yeah, that's why. Now, if you have any questions.
I walked right into that.
Thanks. Just set them up, knock them down.
11 months, by the way.
What is it?
11 months.
Thank you.
Imagine how cranky they are if it goes to 11 and a half.
Wow. C-section.
The giant capital C. It's 6:19. Steve, what?
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
Forgot about that guy.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Thanks, Duffy.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Good morning, Mr. Manfredini.
Hello, sir.
Steve Alexander, you're familiar with his work, are you not?
Good-looking fella, great head of hair.
Started off the day very great for me because he sent me something that I had not seen. As you know, I scour every corner of the internet. I monitor the internet at all times.
You're like a guardian of the galaxy.
That's exactly who I am.
Right.
And I'm glad you said guardian of the galaxy because what he sent me was a way for you to determine what your superhero name would be.
Oh, and we didn't plan that.
You take the first letter of your name and the month you were born. All so right. In my case, it would be S. The month I was born would be March. So my superhero name is Invisible Justice. Huh? How's that?
Oh, you mean it's like a thing you put in?
Yeah.
It's not. I thought you were going to say your superhero was S. March.
No. It's a key. You have to refer right. to the key.
Because, you know, if you were someone that appeared in adult movies,
yes,
it would be your first pet's name.
Mm-hmm. And the street you grew up on?
And the street you grew up on.
Yeah, I don't know. That's some. I've never heard of that prior to this.
What would yours be?
Mine is Ginger Hanshaw in that case.
That's a good one. You know what? You've done some really good work.
But only as Invisible Justice.
Got it. I like that.
All right. So your first, give me the month you were born.
May.
May. Oh, May. Solid month.
Yeah. And my first letter is L.
Yeah, I'm part of familiar with. Your superhero name, and I hope you're happy with this.
I'm sure I will be.
Is, I can't read this. It's too... It's smudged. Oh, good. You know, I'm going to give you this one. Bolt Thunder.
Oh, all right. Good. Bolt. That's not really my name, is it?
No, it's April because there's a smudge on May. Bolt Thunder.
Bolt Thunder. All right. Yes. I like it.
We'll
Very
fix
nice.
That later. Let's go to the phone now where Kevin is standing by. And Kevin has a question for Lou Manfredini because Kevin doesn't want to wait tomorrow when Lou's got people lined up on the phone. He wants to be the first caller, and you are now, Kevin. Go ahead.
Well, good morning, Steve. Good morning, Lou.
Morning.
I'm going to be selling my house within the next year, and my concrete driveway has cracks all over it. Can I just asphalt over that? Because I got a price for redoing the concrete, and it's quite expensive.
Well, two things. When you go to asphalt over the top of that, you're going to have to put at least 2 inches of compacted asphalt over the top. And the risk is, I mean, I realize you're going to sell, but if you... put all that added weight over the top of it, long term it's going to crack. And I realize you're selling it, but doing the right thing would be instead of maybe asphalting over the top, there are companies that can come and refinish the concrete. If it's sound and not like lifting, they can come over and put a top coat of concrete over it that bonds really well. And for the money, I would rather see you do that than put asphalt over the top.
Is that a lot less expensive than regular?
Well, that asphalt's probably going to cost you somewhere in the neighborhoods of about $4 to $5 a square foot. If you do a top coating, there's a company called Tintcrete that is a local company that makes a concrete patch over the top. They're the manufacturer, and you'd have to find somebody to do this troweling over the top, which would be a concrete finisher. But you'd probably be spending about $1 a square foot on the material, and then another couple bucks on the labor. So you're cutting the install by half.
Okay.
Tintcrete.
Tintcrete. Now, don't hang up, my friend, because you are a big winner. You have won yourself.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve.
Yes, sir. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Lou.
You have won. Hold the line, my friend. You have won one of those fancy schmancy Wi-Fi thermostats from American Weathermakers. Lou, what else do I need to know about that?
You can connect it to your smartphone.
Yeah,
you can control the thermostat from anywhere in the world, really. And I believe it's from April Air.
Is today your birthday?
Today is my birthday.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday.
Bolt Thunder. Happy birthday.
I just had somebody text me from the 630 saying it was your birthday.
That's nice. Hey, it's my brother's birthday, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we answer the question so Lou doesn't have to work today?
Okay.
That April Air Wi-Fi thermostat from American Weathermakers is yours as well, Lou. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Home of
Thank
the 60
you.
Minute Man, 855-955-HVS. Yeah, I didn't know what to get you.
That's all right.
What are you doing for your birthday?
I'm going to pressure wash a deck later today.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm actually excited about that.
I'll bet you are.
Yeah,
very,
got
very.
Got my rubber boots, and I'm going to put on my, I got a pair of work earphones, you know, that you put up to cover ear protection.
Sure, yeah.
But it's a radio.
Oh, look at you.
And so I can listen to WGN while
look
I
at
work.
You. That's the work of Bolt Rider.
Right there, right?
Bolt Rider.
Right.
I figured
Bolt
it
Rider.
Out, by the way. You're Bolt Rider.
Bolt Rider.
Yeah, you're Bolt Rider. Right. Listen, it's no Invisible Justice, but hey, it's your birthday.
Invisible Justice is pretty good.
847, I got ants in my vegetable garden. What can I use to kill them?
Mm. There's a terrific organic spray, and also they make it in a powder shake by Bonide. It's called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Arg! That's what it's called.
Thank God the ants can't read. They'd never buy it.
I know, but it's a great product. I'm actually showing that this morning on the WGN Morning TV. I'm talking about bugs. This is a huge problem for our area here. This kind of crazy spring, because it was so cold and wet, and then we get the immediate heat. There's going to be a huge issue for all of us with bugs in our landscape and yards. And one of the things that I'm recommending today on television, which I can share with your audience, is grubs are a huge issue. Normally, you don't put down grub protection until the month of June, but because this weather's been so crazy, I'm recommending that you put it down like right now.
Yeah, right now.
Right now.
Get out there.
Right. Put on your headphones that play the radio and go out there and put that out there. That should be a really good giveaway on my show.
Your headphones with the radio.
Protect your ears when you're working.
You sell those at Ace?
Well, but I want ones that only tune into AM 720.
That's a good call.
Right.
Lockdown.
Reset.
With a promotional logo on the side of them.
Perfect.
All right, we'll get that done.
Make that happen.
Birthday boy, where can I buy crabgrass seeds? My other half of the lawn might as well have it, too.
I don't think that those are available. But you can change that by just changing the soil composition of your soil. The reason that you get a lot of crabgrass is that the soil is acidic. If you add a natural lime to the soil, you will control the crabgrass without any use of chemicals, like harsh chemicals.
773, what's a good planter flower for a house facing west? Shade all morning, hot sun all afternoon.
Ooh. Well, if it's hot sun all afternoon, you know what really does a nice job is begonias.
Oh.
Begonias they love sun,
yes, they do.
But they can tolerate the shade. And as long as you're getting at least 4 hours of sun,
yes.
Within about a month, you're going to see these things explode as far as the plant getting so much bigger.
I was in a band called the Exploding Begonias.
Well.
Played Lollapalooza, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. One more from the texters. Oh, boy. Stand by, Lou. Got a little text problem.
Right here. I'm right here. Don't worry.
Here it is. Lou, had a new AC installed last summer. Humidity remains high in the house, about 45%. Think the unit's too big. What can I do?
Oh, wow.
Well, you never want to get a smaller unit.
Well, actually, sizing it is the issue, in that if it's too large, that's exactly what can happen. And the fact that if it runs too quickly and it doesn't do any dehumidification, and so the house can feel really clammy, especially when it's hot. So in a situation like this, what you may need to do is either have the thing sized properly, where they bring the condensing unit and A-coil down, which would be expensive, or introduce what's called an ERV, which is a whole house air makeup system that uses the outside air to circulate through, and it'll take that humid air out. And actually, it's one of the things that people should have in all of their systems, because it's constantly reintroducing fresh air into your home, and so it creates a much healthier home. But it's both of those are we're talking about additional investments.
Let's go to Steve Grzanich, who's no longer sitting there.
Oh.
I thought Steve had a question. Well, maybe we could just have Steve come back for that.
Oh.
Dave, do you have a question before we let Lou go?
I don't really have one.
All right, good.
Unless he wants to come and power wash my deck also. I could
need
use that
as well?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, all right.
Sure. Oh, there he is. Steve, what was your question?
Lou, I have a question about buying a battery-operated lawnmower, and I know you guys have those at Ace Hardware.
Do
they work?
They're great. We actually sell a ton of them at our store in the city because the yards are smaller. The one thing I'll tell you is the advent of these things has gotten a lot better. If you're going to buy one, buy one that has batteries that are interchangeable. Toro, for instance, who makes great lawnmowers, their unit, which is very good, doesn't have a battery you can swap out if it's not charged enough. And so you get done, you're in the middle of the lawn, and you're like, oh, I forgot to plug it in, and then it runs out of gas or juice, and you have to plug it back in. With the ones you can swap out, Black & Decker has that available. There's several other manufacturers. Works is a product, is one. Remington is another. And they're really, really nice. As long as your yard is something you can do in about 45 minutes, the one battery would be enough. But with the dual battery, you can double that time.
Steve, what month were you born in?
November.
You are Invisible Hulk.
Love
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, that's a really good name. What's mine? Like Pansy what? Petunia? What is it?
Pansy Louie.
No. Pansy Louie. Everybody run.
Pansy Louie. No, what you were Bolt. What was it? May?
That good.
Bolt Rider.
My
adult Bolt Rider.
Film,
Dave?
My adult film star name is
May.
What's your adult film star name?
Star Barberry.
Okay.
Right? That's good.
Did you get a payoff from Trump yet?
No. He's going to reimburse me.
Dave, you are Phantom Rider.
Oh, I like it.
That's good.
I like it.
That is good.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Vandeveld, what month?
January.
January, Mary, you are...
You're going to have fun with this, Steve. All day.
You are Captain Shield.
Oh, that means lame. Me like Captain Shield too, then, right? Because I'm Mary and January as well.
Yeah. Sorry.
I thought I was going to be Manuary.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're Atomic Shield. You're not Captain.
Oh,
you're
that's
Atomic
much
Shield.
Better.
That's better.
Atomic Shield.
So I'm Atomic Shield 2.
Yeah. You're Atomic Shield 2, the next adventure.
Do.
Back with your headlines in a moment. And then Elise Glick will join us and we'll talk some biz. See Lou on TV in a moment and hear him on the radio tomorrow at 7 a.m. See you, buddy. That's Lou Manfredini, and this is 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle.
6:45, and Elise Glink, sponsored by Grandview Homes, will get set up on this, and we'll come back and actually do the story. But first, Elise, would you like to know what your superhero name is?
Absolutely.
Okay. The first letter of your name, of course, is I, and the month you were born?
July.
July. You sure you want to go with July? Because you are Hawk Ninja.
I love that.
Justin Kaufman's in the studio with us this morning. I'll explain more about that coming up. Justin, your birth month?
August.
August, you say?
Yeah. Jay in August. What do I got?
You are Archer Spider.
I'll switch. I'll take Hawk Ninja.
How about Invisible?
What was that? I like Hawk Ninja.
Oh, darn it.
Oh, I'm Invisible Justice. I kick butt on all you guys.
I got the best one.
What was yours?
Phantom Rider.
Invisible Justice always beats Phantom Rider.
Phantom Rider has a ton of sequel opportunities, you can tell. That could be Phantom Rider 4.
I think we all remember the big Phantom Rider scandal. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We keep quiet about that.
I suppose. When we come back, Elise, I want to talk to you about the best cities for living the American dream because Aurora, Illinois made the cut.
All right.
And what else is on the housing news agenda? The real estate agenda. The Elise Glink news agenda.
A mystery. We'll have to just find out when it happens.
Oh, look at you little tease.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
While the White Sox play, I know a lot of you are missing out on your Justin Kaufman, so I've asked Justin to come in and hang out with us.
Thank you, buddy. Good to see you. Good morning.
And I don't know if you saw, speaking of the White Sox, but the Sun-Times wrote a really lovely piece about the White Sox partnership with WGN Radio.
Nice. I did not see that.
Let's credit the writer. Dave, who was it?
Jeff Agrist, who writes a sports media column for the Sun-Times. And, very nice about our relationship with the White Sox, which is...
A stable marriage.
Yes.
As the headline says.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, off to a great start.
I see myself as a Trace Thompson.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And young guy came up and hit the walk-off last night.
I'm more of a Yoán Moncada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I think people don't understand. Let's go to Elise Glink now. Elise, before we get to this survey, are you a fan of Elon Musk? I know you're a fan of success like I am.
I don't know if fan might be a little bit of a strong word. I think he's absolutely brilliant, and I think he's going to be looked back on as, 100 years from now as one of the great futurists of our time.
Turns out he's a jerk.
I'm not surprised.
Here's the story. A conference call on Wednesday night, the Tesla CEO and founder Elon Musk insulted analysts and refused to answer what he called their, quote, boring, boneheaded questions. He also told investors that they should not buy his company's stock if they're concerned about volatility. Musk, that supposed real-life Tony Stark, speaking of superheroes, whose quirks include introducing a line of $500 flamethrowers out of the blue and launching a rocket program with no business plan, cut off financial analysts as they were asking questions about Tesla's capital expenditures and the company's production of the new Model 3 electric car. Boneheaded questions are not cool. Next. These questions are so dry, they're killing me. Musk was heard to say both. Later in the call, several more testy exchanges. He finally was cut off by one of his own people. There was a concern that a large amount of money was about to be lost. And those analysts actually went to the gate and said, listen, here's the deal, Mr. Musk. You continue to slam these analysts, we could potentially lose $1 billion in this single conference call.
I seem to have been on many of Steve Cochran conference calls where all you do is call us boneheaded, but it doesn't make the news.
Boneheaded, scream, shout, stomp. Yeah, you know, the temper. So anyway, at least I'm just telling you right now, when you meet Elon Musk, just be careful. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so I'll tell you my Elon Musk story.
Go ahead.
A few years ago, I went to the Edison Awards in, I think they were in San Francisco that year. And the Edison Awards reward innovation in all sorts of like scientific achievement and product achievement all over the world. And Elon Musk was the special guest of honor. And so he and his table came in. And I think this is when he was kind of just separated from his wife. You know, he's gone back and forth with his wife like, I don't know, a dozen times. And then, you know, and then he just has this thing where they get married, they get divorced, they get married, they get divorced, and then he moves on to a new one. Anyway, he and his buddies were all there with their model, actress, you know, girlfriend, wives, whatever. Sure. And they all came in late. They sat down at their table, and nobody was allowed to talk to them. And then he gave his speech, which was brilliant and, you know, forward-looking, and then they all got up as a pack and they wandered off. And that was the end of Elon Musk at our dinner.
Very Bruce Wayne.
Well, you know, you think about the guy that started Uber, Travis Kalanick, was that his name? Travis close to that.
Yeah.
And the wheels literally came off his personal Uber in the past year, where he had to be kicked out of his own company. Now, granted, he's can lay in a bed of hundreds for a long time to come, but he is a little wacky. And Elon Musk is a little wacky. Tesla as a company is burning through all of their cash, not some of their cash, all of their cash. So I don't know that being snippy and rude to his investors is a good call.
You know, the thing about him, though, that separates him from an Uber CEO who did a great job with that company is just as we just talked about, he's a progressive, or he looks forward and he talks about big issues that our society is going to be dealing with. So he obviously has more value than just being a guy who owns a car company.
Yeah, but the trouble with geniuses is if they think they know everything,
yeah.
You know? I mean, look what's happened to Dave.
All right, thanks.
Elias Glink, ThinkGlink.com, the best cities for living the American dream in 2018. This includes home ownership, economic opportunity, and diverse communities. Do you know who number one is?
Yes, West Valley, Utah. West Valley City in Utah.
Where's that?
I don't know. St. George, Utah has become hugely popular with people who can't afford California anymore. I assume it's a suburb of that or nearby. Mm. Who knows? Okay.
The number two on the list and the number three on the list sort of surprised me.
Yeah, Odessa, Texas, and Midland, Texas. I feel like, yes, housing prices are very, very low there. They're sort of bleeding outside of there's the main areas of Texas. I don't know.
Isn't Midland a big oil town?
It's inexplicable to me why so many. Do you know how hot it is in Texas in Fort Worth, which is number six? Like 140 in the summer. Why would you want to live there?
Round Rock, Texas is five. Fort Worth, Texas is six. Aurora, Colorado is seven. San Jose, California, maybe the largest city on this list. They are eight.
Yeah.
Amarillo, Texas, nine. A lot of Texas, in other words, in Rochester, Minnesota, lovely town, is 10th. But Aurora, Illinois comes in at fourth.
Yeah, so here's what I think is going on that's right with Aurora. It's obviously inexpensive to live there, which is great, relatively speaking, although I think all of Chicago soon is going to be on that list. There's also the tech hub that's kind of gone out on the old I-88, which is now, is that Ronald Reagan Highway?
It is,
Highway?
Yeah, it's a big Reagan Highway.
So it started with Naperville. You know, 40 years ago, Naperville was little, like, you know, a tiny little town with nothing between Chicago and Naperville, and Aurora is just a little bit beyond that. But over the last 40 years, that's become a basically a tech hub all the way out on that on the Reagan Highway. And Aurora is the sort of latest city to kind of build up its old, you know, old-fashioned downtown and to sort of make it into more of a shopping, dining, working sort of mecca in one of what we call the satellite regions of a city. And Aurora and Naperville together have become quite a wonderful place to live.
No question. I have, you know, one of my many homes there.
Yeah. Well, you are always ahead of the curve, Steve.
Well, there's the one. The one home.
The one home.
Elise Klink, what should we be thinking about? And the markets and housing and real estate and borrowing and lending. What should we be thinking about today? Give us something to take into the weekend.
Yeah, think about the fact that mortgage interest rates are rising and you should refinance if you haven't already.
Right. I like that. Pick
That's
up the
your
phone,
weekend,
do it today.
Your weekend directive.
If I go to Think Glink, won't I be smarter? That's the rumor.
Yes, go sign up for my free weekly newsletter. Then you get to be smart every Monday morning.
ThinkGlink.com. Delightful to have you on. I forgot your superhero name, but go forth and prosper.
Hawk Ninja, and Hawk I'm going to go and emblazon it on my shirt today.
It'll be a great look. Thank you very much.
See ya.
ThinkGlink.com. Next hour, Paul Vallis really wants to be mayor. And he wants to punch Rahm a couple of times in the process.
Very interesting introductory press conference.
Out of the gate hard. And you got to meet Katie Bishop. Oh, wait, didn't you have her on the show a couple weeks ago? Yeah. Yeah, and she's back. Must have been a good spot.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Havana, Nana. Hey. Half of my heart is in Havana.
That's for Lourdes. Lourdes Duarte, one of my favorite Cubans.
And hey, look at you. You're so hip with these songs.
It's, yeah. Well, listen.
Top 40 songs from 2 months ago.
Not my first day. That's the voice of Justin Kaufman. You haven't been able to hear Dustin as much since we had the White Sox join us as a flagship station for the White Sox. So I said, Justin, get up. Come
I love
in.
It. Thank you very much. Monday, you know who's the guest on my show? Big Table, 1 hour with Teller.
Is that right?
Penn and Teller.
That's going to be very difficult talk. Because he doesn't talk and you're on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a good guy, have you met him?
Yeah.
Yeah, good
guy. It's a, a little magic trick.
And he and Penn are still together, right? There's no Yoko in
there
that story.
There is no Yoko. And Teller is directing. He's co-directing a show at Chicago Shakespeare in Chicago. Macbeth.
Where he makes Macbeth disappear?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I want to introduce you, Justin, to my new best friend, Katie Bishop. Katie was on the show, how long ago? Was that 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Yeah, 2 weeks, something like that. Pull that microphone right in front of you there. And let me tell you a little bit about Katie.
Yeah.
You know, these are all off the top of my head. It's not like I'm reading notes. You grew up in Decatur?
Correct.
And your sister's name is?
Jenny.
And you're very close to Jenny?
Slightly.
Who's older?
Jenny,
I know. Well,
it's Jenny with an IE. There's no Y in Jenny.
No,
it's a whole is an IE. So I just want to make that clear, Steve. Fact checker.
Was she a good? Was she a good big sister growing up?
Depends on who you ask.
Well, I'm asking you.
Yes.
Okay. You graduated high school in 3 years.
Correct.
What? Because why? Because you're so smart, you had to get out.
Well, my freshman year, Jenny was a senior, so you can imagine the typical antics that we tried to pass over on our parents, but she graduated and then I didn't know what to do. I didn't have my bestie there.
You lost your center of gravity.
My center of gravity was pulling her own antics in Clemson, South Carolina.
So you decided, check this
out.
Yeah. She decided, I'm at least going to be in the same time zone. So you went to college where?
I went to college at UGA in Athens.
So did you hurry up to get done with high school or you say, I'm out, I'm done, I'm just going straight to college, my sister's not here?
Well, public school in Decatur, Illinois wasn't all that tough.
For you folks listening in Decatur, we love you. All right, so now Jenny graduates from Clemson. She moves to New York City.
Yes.
And you're just getting started at UGA.
Yes, she's a jerk.
So you went to New York City.
I followed shortly after I graduated.
All right. You graduate from school in New York, or at that point you were following the Steve Cochran plan?
Yeah. I stayed in Georgia, finished school there, and then when I moved to New York, it was just 72 hours before September 11th.
Oh, you're kidding.
Mm-hmm.
So you got there like on September 9th?
Yep.
September. Where were you guys living?
We lived at 77th and York, Upper East Side.
Yeah.
Where were you that morning?
I was at home because I was just getting my suitcase unpacked.
Sure.
And getting things organized, and I was getting my... I got up late. I was getting my first cup of coffee as I turned the TV on and saw the second plane hit the second tower.
And where was Jenny?
Jenny was at work at 57th and 7th.
The world changed that day, mm-hmm. obviously. How fast did you want to leave New York?
Pretty quick. If I could have gotten a flight out that night, maybe sure. that night. But it was strange. I mean, I certainly was in no shape or form a New Yorker, but all immediately you wanted to be a New Yorker.
So instant affinity, mm-hmm. because everybody was one at that point. Mm-hmm. There wasn't you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, you suck. There wasn't black folks, white folks, brown folks.
No.
You know what? I don't want that horrific day to come back, but I sure miss the days afterwards where we all cared about each other.
Yeah, there was a bit of camaraderie happening around the city.
All right, so you moved back to Chicago when?
First I moved to Australia.
Yeah, well, we all do that. You know that move that
sure,
we make?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we spend time, we
it's
go from
so
Decatur
so cliche.
To Georgia, to New York, to Australia.
Right, a nickel for every time a millennial comes in. It's like, right. Oh, the path.
When did you move to, or why did you move to Australia?
I moved to Australia shortly after. So I was in New York maybe 5 months, working two jobs, totally struggling, eating Ritz crackers.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that two kind of girlfriends that I knew from college were moving to Australia, and I thought, exactly what you did. Who moves to Australia?
Mm-hmm.
So I found out they got a work visa for 6 months, and I quickly gathered every single penny I had, and I, too, got a work visa.
Did you love it?
Amazing.
Why'd you come home?
Because they kick you out after 6 months.
Would you have stayed if you could become a citizen?
Absolutely.
No kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but look at...
Spectacular country.
You wouldn't have met Mr. Wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful. Correct. I mean, all things happen for a reason.
Now, we'll get back to more about the life and times of Katie Bishop in a second. But along with all of this, you're doing fundraisers left and right because you're in a battle with cancer, which is extremely serious. But your attitude is amazing. And I love what you do every day with us. You look fabulous, by the way.
Thanks.
So, nobody hears that enough. And you do. And we're just glad you agreed to come in and goof around with us for a while.
I love to goof around.
All right. Paul Vallis. Former chief of schools for Chicago.
What a coincidence. He loves to goof around, too. Paul
he
Dallas,
is
so.
Hilarious. he's coming in. He wants to be the mayor. So be prepared to grill him with questions, Katie.
I'm ready. My internet is set up over here.
All right, good. Well, it's
need,
a start.
Yeah. She has her own internet.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
The Katie Bishop internet.
Yeah. It's Firefox.
All right. Well, so you say.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran, Justin Kaufman, Katie Bishop, Dave Ennett, Mary Vandeveld, Paul Vallis. Paul Vallis for all, Chicago.com. Twitter at Paul Vallis, former chief of Chicago schools, wants to be your next mayor. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you again. It's been quite a while. Condolences on Mark. You know, I can't imagine how difficult that is, and here you are jumping into this. You never stop moving, do you?
No. And you were talking about retirement.
Yeah.
You don't get pensions working in New Orleans and Haiti and in Chile, so I think I'm going to be working probably until I'm in my 80s like my father.
Yeah. Well, you know what? All of us, right? But in the meantime, you made quite a bit of news yesterday because, as John Kess said, you came out swinging. Starting with the fact that people don't like Rahm Emanuel. Is likability a big deal in this race?
Yeah, I think likability is a big deal. But also, a bigger deal is performance. And, you know, I just think things have gone wanting the last 7 years. And the city's in big trouble financially. The murder rate exceeds that of L.A. and New York combined. We're all in the Amazon sweepstakes, but one has to ask oneself what has been happening in the neighborhoods the last 7 years. I mean, suddenly we have $2.5 billion for Amazon. If we had $2.5 billion in resources available, just think of the mini Amazons all over the city. And I'm not against Amazon. I mean, the bottom line is the package is there. It's being offered. Hopefully we'll get it. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of communities that have not escaped the 2008 recession. In fact, on the west side, if you've seen some recent articles, there's some communities that haven't recovered from the 1968 riots. So there's a lot of work to there's a lot of work to do in the city, and I just think the city's in need, in desperate need of new leadership.
The Amazon question is one that comes up all the time, and you know this because it's no big day. It's not a day at the beach running the Chicago school system. You have to make decisions based on priorities and decisions in the moment. So I have no question about your qualifications, but right. Is the Amazon example a fair example of where you feel Rahm has failed?
Well, first of all, I have no fault with competing for the big businesses. But look, classic example is the developer's fee. The developer's fee is being levied on obviously downtown developments for the purposes of raising money to distribute to the community. It took them until 2016 to create a developer's fee. Now their money is being allocated to the community with no standards. In fact, City Hall can allocate grants of up to $250,000 without any sort of oversight. Mm-hmm. I mean, what took you so long? It's been a 6-7 year period. I mean, one can argue that, well, I'm unpopular because I'm making the right decisions. Well, the first term, they punted. They punted on pensions. They had no agenda down in Springfield to get what they ultimately got in 2016-2017, which was state funding for the Chicago Teachers Retirement System. I mean, that alone, that deferment of responsibilities alone, it will probably deprive the pension fund of about $1.5 billion. So at the end of the day, it's kind of the D.C. type politics, you know. You win election and then you immediately prepare for your reelection. You go through the fundraising, you defer making tough decisions. At the end of the day, the consequences are we ultimately pay more in the long run because of the failure to deal with these issues early on.
Stupid system.
The mayor's office or the mayor's staff has pushed back and you know, you had mentioned yesterday about this, there's no real long-term planning when it comes to the Mayor Emanuel. But they pushed back and said a lot of the financial issues that we're facing are from some of the decisions you made back at CPS when punting and skipping pension payments. And there is a lot that gets put on what happened with politicians in the 90s, the mid-90s. So how do you respond to that?
All right. Well, first of all, he's now been mayor for 7 years. Okay. So at some point, you know, you got to take responsibility. You have to own it. When the legislature consolidated the tax levies back in 1995, and the legislature did it, and gave the mayor the power to do that. They gave them the power because they said if certain funds had excess revenues, you could shift those revenues to the classroom. But there are provisions, and this is really important, there are provisions that said if pension funding falls below, full funding falls below 100%, you had to make a contribution. And when we left the Chicago Public Schools, they not only had a fully funded pension system, 100% funded plus, but we had hundreds of millions of dollars in cash reserves. We had 30,000 more students. We had built 78 new school buildings, and we had 12 bond rating upgrades. And you know as well as I do that rating agencies don't increase your bond rating 12 times if you're kicking the can down the road.
Oh, no, they're friendly. They love that.
They love that. They love underfunded systems.
But here's my question. The pension business model in 2018, does it work on any level? Because it's bankrupting states across the country. And while everybody that's involved in the pension system deserves to be fully paid for what they've put in, don't we have to fix it going forward?
Well, you do, but the problem is the Supreme Court has got everybody in a straitjacket because attempts, as you know, numerous attempts at the state and local level to get changes, to enact changes, sometimes when they've agreed to by labor, as long as there's somebody out there to challenge that agreement, when it gets to the Supreme Court rules it as being unconstitutional. So whether we like it or not, we're going to have to deal with the funding issue. And I'm not going to shy away from that either.
I mean, so you'd be willing to look at fixing it if fixing it was the appropriate conversation of the day as the mayor?
Well, statutory.
Do you agree that it needs to be fixed?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. But you're not going to be able to fix it statutorily because we're in a vice. At the end of the day, there has to be a funding solution. There has to be a funding solution because unless you change the Constitution.
Well, let's change the Constitution then. Justin, get that done by noon.
I'm on it.
Katie Bishop is here. Katie, you're a real estate agent. You live in the city. Tell Mr. Vallis, if he's mayor, what you would like to see different or what would make you feel better about Chicago. Right into that microphone.
I think everybody...
Oops, I don't know why I can't hear you. There you go.
I'm here. Here I am.
There you are. You think everybody what?
I think everybody's concern right now is just that the city feels 100% different than it did 10 years ago.
In what way?
I mean, I used to live in East Lakeview. I would walk down the street to my parking garage, 9 p.m. I wouldn't think two things about it.
So security.
Security. And now I live in Bucktown, super populated, 20 feet away from Damon, which is, you know, hugely commercial. And I don't walk my dog at night anymore.
Is the crime in the neighborhood for you gone up? Or is it a perception of danger?
I think it's a couple things. I think it's Facebook. I think it's social media telling us every single time there's a pickpocket, a break-in.
Sure.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention 10 years ago when I was in East Lakeview. But
oh, no, I don't think you're alone in that. I think that perception is definitely real, and statistically it's backed up in some neighborhoods. And obviously, as Mayor Paul Vallis, this would be, if it's not job one, it's top three. What do you do about safety in the city?
All right, so let me respond very quickly. When I was city budget director, I sat down with Terry Hillard, and I said, what's the police strength that you need to do the job? He said 13,500 police officers and 1,200 detectives, and that's what we did. We funded it for 3 years. When ROM came in, once again, you have to own it, they literally eliminated close to 2,000 positions. Now, most of those positions had not been filled, but they had, over the years, attrited out those positions because those positions were important at one time. So, basically, the number of police officers was significantly less. But let me tell you something more stunning, was they totally decimated the detectives division. They went from 1,200 detectives to, depending on who you're talking to, 600 to 800. Now, they're trying to build everything back because this is an election year. We're going to get up to 13.6, and we're going to get up to 1,200 detectives. But let me tell you, the decimation of the detectives division and the fact that the new detectives are being hired are, in many respects, they don't have the experience that the old ones have, is why we have a clearance rate on murders of 1 in 6. So it's more than perception, it's reality. And that's why they're shifting police resources all over the city to these trouble spots.
Would you try to commit to never reducing the size of the police force once you get to the number?
I believe you need 13,500 officers. I believe you need 1,200 detectives. I believe you need a restoration of the police patrol, because if you restore and increase the number of school police in the schools, then in the off season when the schools are not in and when the crime rate begins to rise, like in the summer, you can deploy 300, 400 additional police officers to the street. So I would go back to the approach that we took. I would go back to the approach that we took early on. And I'll tell you, I would take a page out of New York. And look, our police department, the rank and file police department, are as fine as officers as anywhere in the country. But in New York, there was a realization 20 years ago when they had 2,200 murders that they needed to get control of crime in the city before they did anything else. And what they did was not only beef up the police, the detectives division, but they brought retired detectives out of retirement so that they could work those cases.
Well, I agree with that. But Paul, it's not just bodies. As you know, in New York, they also looked the other way on civil rights for quite a while. And by the way, I'm not entirely against that, depending on the circumstances. But that's part of the burden of being a mayor.
Yeah, but let me point out that because of the level of strength and because they maintained that level of strength, guess what happened? That same rank and file police department with those same numbers that were dealing with 2,200 murders a year are now dealing with 300 murders a year. So what happens is you have like a compounded benefit. And that's why violent crime, that's why murder has declined by 90%, and it continues to decline despite the fact that they made some changes when it comes to basically, you know, the stop and frisk and things like that. Very controversial. What happened? They made those changes, but what happened? The murder rate continues to decline. You see what I mean? So the bottom line is they really created an environment within which there was great instability within the police department playing with those numbers.
We're out of time, but last question. And by the way, I'm expecting you'll call Katie Bishop directly and tell her how her neighborhood's doing. but last question, Paul Vallis wants to be your mayor. I firmly believe that this city needs a tough guy in the mayor's office, because without it, the people who sit in those aldermen's chairs would run this city into the ground. There are some fine people who are aldermen, and there are some complete nut jobs, and you got to be tough as mayor. How would you work with city council?
Well, look, I think what you need to bring to the city council is a comprehensive agenda, and the approach that I've always taken is to not do one-year budgets, but multi-year budgets, because if the council sees what the long-term priorities are, if the council sees how the budget is designed to be an investment vehicle, a vehicle that invests in the type of programs and initiatives that improve the quality of life and in turn grow the city, if they can see the forest from the trees, they'll follow. But when everything is political, when every decision to make, the Wintrust Arena or for that matter, you know, you can go through a list of things that seem to be spontaneous, almost spastic in the way they're responding to certain events, you know, that leads to confusion. Leadership is about articulating the vision and then working with the city council so that vision can be a shared vision. And that's the approach that I've always taken. And I've always gone into contentious situations situations. I mean, look, I've never taken.
I don't know. I've always said you're a nice guy.
That's right.
And committing multi-year budgets would commit these aldermen to make sure they spend the money appropriately in the wards too. That they're not going to be able to change it up in 12 months.
Absolutely. And that's how we were able to go from a billion-dollar 5-year projected structural deficit in Chicago Public Schools to hundreds of millions of dollars in effect cash reserves and surpluses when we left. We did that because our first budget was a 5-year balanced budget plan, and we stuck to it.
Will you appear on Justin Kaufman's show and be grilled as well?
Anytime.
Talk education.
Absolutely. As long as you want. Any questions?
All right.
Okay. All right. And I've also sent out the word that I would love to participate in it. I'm not going to open my own podcast, but I'll participate in anyone's podcast.
The mayor has a podcast?
Well, if he invites me, I'll be more than happy.
Justin, how about that? How about
that would be great.
Justin, how about that? How about if he appears on Rob's podcast?
I love that idea.
All right. How about Justin? Nothing but show business, baby. That's what politics is. Paul Vallis for allchicago.com. Twitter at Paul Vallis, V-A-L-L-A-S. I just wish you were passionate.
Nice to see you, man.
Good to see you.
We'll come back with the headlines in a moment at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
744, Justin Kaufman's here. Our friend Katie Bishop is here, shotgun host on the show today.
Yeah.
She said you want to ride shotgun, so she is. So do you feel better, Katie, after hearing from Paul Vallis, or are you kind of on the fence? Like, show me more.
I'm a little on the... Well, I think we all need show me more from all of our politicians.
Right.
I'm a little on the fence.
By the way, we didn't talk much about your business. You're a real estate agent?
I am a real estate agent, yes.
Is this your company?
It is... No, I
who do you work for?
I work for App Properties. I work with the Emily Sachs Wong's group.
Okay. And do you do residential business both?
Residential, mostly.
Okay. How's the market?
You know, it's great. It's we had a little bit of a slow start to our spring, but all of a sudden, just like the tulips, it's popped.
You got a neighborhood that's kind of your zone?
I don't want to say that I...
North
totally
side,
specify.
South side?
Mostly north side. I have some clients in the North Shore. A couple in Oak Park. I mean, we kind of go everywhere.
And what's a number or an email or whatever? How would people get a hold of you if they're interested?
They can find me at my first initial K, last name Bishop, B-I-S-H-O-P, at atproperties.com.
atproperties.com. Justin Kaufman, back to Paul Vallis for a second. You lived here in the 90s.
I
lived here in the 90s. What kind of schools chief was he?
It was interesting because he came in as kind of a... I don't know if you can use this word, hard ass. I mean, he was a...
is that a conjunction?
Yeah, I think
is that
a conjunction,
one word?
Right? It's a compound word.
It. Yeah, he did, actually. Yeah.
Well, he came in, obviously, people remember that there was the takeover. The city did not run Chicago Public Schools, and the mayor was sick of it. And the mayor was able to wrestle control. He put Paul Vallis and Gary Chico in charge. Paul Vallis, of course, the CPS. He came in. Right away, there were layoffs. Right away, there was streamlining. The idea was to turn around Chicago Public Schools. Now, many will say at that time... Nothing turned around. But many will also say that the idea that the city took on Chicago Public Schools made it a more efficient property, if you will, or efficient government agency.
Was that his vision?
I don't know. You know, he was not very popular when he left. And that's the one thing. I mean, he had kind of overstayed. And he went down and he's like, he kind of was talking about he was in New Orleans, I think Connecticut at one point.
Post-Katrina New Orleans.
Post-Katrina, he rebuilt the schools there. But he's always been a polarizing figure in all the cities that he's been in. The one thing, I saw him yesterday talking about this, and someone asked a question about whether or not he would get the endorsement of the Chicago Teachers Union. If you're going to be a guy who ran the Chicago Public Schools, if you can get that endorsement, because you know they have had volatile relationships with the mayor right now, Mayor Emanuel. Yep. So if you can get the teachers union on your side, that's a big help, especially.
Well, I'd also argue that if you ran the schools, you better get the endorsement
of
the teachers
I don't
union.
Think he's going to get it. The teachers union hasn't said yet, but the concept being that he'll say the old teachers union head, they would endorse me. From back in the 90s, and some teachers would as well. But that doesn't matter. I mean, we're talking about Karen Lewis, and we're talking about the Chicago Teachers Union now. A lot of the teachers that are in the system were not in the system in 1995. You can't rest on what the perceptions were 20-plus years ago.
And it all comes down to turnout, like it always does, which is why I'm always screaming about people getting out and voting.
But I will say this. For Paul Vallis, he's the architect of selective enrollment, magnet schools.
Yeah.
You can see a lot of what is happening in Chicago, and a lot of the progressive Democrats in this town would argue that that's bad, that there has been, that a lot of what Chicago public schools has become when it becomes when there's inequality, when you have selective enrollment and affluent people being able to go here and neighborhood schools closing at you know, historic rates, that is comes from the architecture of Paul Vallis.
Well, he's a brilliant guy, and the thing that he's going to run up against most in regards to difficulty, I think, is money, because Mayor Emanuel has a ton of it, and with 7 or 8 or 9 people getting into the mayoral race, we're almost guaranteed to have a runoff.
I think I will say, Steve, the education part is the part that I think if Paul Vallis sticks on education, yeah, talks about the schools and owns his area, that is a weak spot. That is a sore spot for the mayor right now.
And remember, I just said this off the air, but remember, everybody goes, well, it's a runoff, big deal. It became a really big deal in 2016 because there was a runoff that made Donald Trump president. I got to find, by the way, and Super Joe or Sandberg, find this for me if you can. Rudy Giuliani told a story yesterday. I don't think he tweets much. Shocker.
Which is such a bummer. I just wish he was really active on
Twitter more often. But he said something yesterday about his conversation with Donald Trump, where he told Donald Trump about the payoff to porn star Stormy Daniels, and Donald Trump said, in Rudy's words, "Oh, look at that! So that's where that came from."
Right.
There's not a chance on this earth that that phraseology ever fell out of Donald Trump's mouth, or that that's true. I actually felt bad briefly yesterday for Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Fersen Glaz, and Farfik Nugan, because when she was doing the briefing yesterday, she said, "All I can do is give you the information I have," which you could easily translate into, "I'm just as sick of this crap as you are."
Well, the one thing about this story, which is the whether it's Russia collusion or Stormy Daniels, the one great thing for all of us in the United States of America is we get more Rudy Giuliani.
I just remember, you know, we were talking about, Katie, your experience after 9/11. We were going to make Rudy Giuliani president. If Rudy Giuliani in 2004 hadn't decided he could skip a bunch of primaries and start in Florida, he may have had himself.
He was before 9/11, and you know, you were there, Katie, for 72 hours. But yeah, sure, he was vastly unpopular right before that happened, because remember, right, he was having a divorce with his wife, and I read this just the other day.
Well, it was a crime thing too, because a lot of people were banging their heads about how he handled crime.
There was the mansion, the New York mansion that he had as part of the settlement with
his wife had half. He had half.
But you were like, that's not yours. It's property of the state. Yeah. You can't just take the mansion and
you can't sublet it.
Yeah, you can sublet it. But yeah, he wasn't popular. But you know, again,
and they almost changed the city's charter that he could have had a third term because they were term limited out. And of course, that's when Bloomberg came in. But to go from where he was then, and to go from a guy who not only championed the FBI, but was one of them. Steve. He was a guy that fought bad guys, to now call the FBI Nazi stormtroopers. Are you kidding me?
You know, the other thing I'll say about this is that it's another New York politician. And as much as people always rip on the Chicago way and Chicago politics, especially with Obama being there for 8 years and all the Chicago has invaded D.C., I'm a Chicago through and through. I don't like the New York politicians. And right now you've got Trump, Giuliani, Chris Christie, like all these guys that are Hillary Clinton. They're all these New York politicians. Can we run the country without New York politicians for once? I'd be fine with that. Give it to the West Coast. West Coast time. Give us back to Reagan.
I'm going to have to vet them. as far as I know, Reagan's still dead.
There's no president from Seattle. We can't get a Seattle president.
Well, we could look.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's 7:58. Justin Kaufman's here because he doesn't get to play at night anymore. I said, "Well, come in and play in the morning."
Thank you. I forgot to ask Paul Vallis for Mayor Daley's cell phone. That was the one thing I forgot. I forgot to do that. Walking out the door, I was like, "Oh, darn it!" I wanted to call the mayor.
I don't picture those two texting that much.
They're more on Facebook Messenger.
Kind of a more distant relationship at this time. Hey, did you hear about remember the Starbucks story from a couple of weeks ago where you had two African-American men waiting for a third buddy to join them? And the local Starbucks manager in Philadelphia said, "You got to buy something, you got to get out." there was a discussion. Hey, he's going to be here any second. You know, none of us were there. We don't know how ugly it got or how it went down, but they were eventually removed by the police. The police were called. They were placed in handcuffs briefly. They left. The mayor apologized. Starbucks apologized.
Training for everybody.
And when is that day's coming up? Right?
29.
It's going to be 29.
The day that I choose to, like, in my head, I'll be like, you know, I want a macchiato today.
Yeah, not so much.
And I'll be like, what do you mean it's closed? I'll go to the one a block over. What do you mean it's closed?
The afternoon of May 29th, they are shutting every Starbucks on the planet for sensitivity training. So the two men arrested for sitting in that Philadelphia Starbucks recently received $200,000. That $200,000 after being led away in handcuffs. You think, well, look, it was all about the lawyers. It was all about settling up. The $200,000 program is all being put towards young entrepreneurs.
How about that?
Every bit of it. Every bit of it. They got a symbolic $1 each in their settlement, which sometimes happens in lawsuits and civil suits. But to take that money and use it the way they're using it, these guys seem like the real deal.
Yeah. I mean, to be a national story, to really to be something that nobody would ever want to be in that situation where someone is. I mean, the cops were called because they wanted to go to the bathroom before they ordered their coffee. You know, you run the risk. I mean, that's just humiliating. It's embarrassing and everything through it. So it there's a lot of ways that story could have gone, especially when it comes to civil lawsuits. So to hear that they're
I don't understand why it went down that way. And I'm always hesitant to jump on it as soon as it shows up on the internet because you know the internet gets up in the morning waits to see who it's upset with. And in this case, I thought, well, you know, maybe there was something, you know, because I'm the person that says, buy something or get out as well. I don't think you should just take your laptop into Starbucks and sit there all day while spending $5 on one coffee.
Oh, my God. If they'd have to do that, if they kicked everybody out and did that.
Is the new one open yet?
The one down here?
Yeah. In the Intercontinental?
Four-story former Cream.
Oh, no, not yet. No.
You know what I did hear, though, Steve? There's going to be so much room for Cream.
Oh, fantastic news.
You always ask for room, huh?
Dave has had this discussion almost every day, and that's across the hallway here, right? Across the lobby? Is this the you like room? We don't want to say which one, but it rhymes with Argo Tea. And apparently, if you order...
Cashless.
If you order coffee from Argo Tea, they ask if you'd like room for cream, and then you get a quarter cup of coffee. Is that the story?
They've gotten better, right? You just sometimes have to speak up, I've learned. And also, don't present them with cash, as Andrea found out, because they're like, what is that?
I just don't understand it.
There's a story there. There's a lot of companies on Michigan Avenue in this area that are going cashless.
They're going cashless.
And there's a ordinance.
Why?
Because
you have to pay a fee for every credit card transaction.
That's why they do it. What they tell you is safety for the employees that people, you know, are cash and grab.
Yeah, but I'm saying that you actually spend more money as a merchant because you're spending there's merchant fees on every credit card.
Is that true anymore, though, with debit cards?
That's why American Express is not in every store because they charge more.
I know that, but I'm not sure about like debit cards and that sort of thing.
I don't know. You know, you'll find it in my head. I'm really wrong.
It's a savings. It's a savings for the organization. I don't know how they do it, but the guys that
the
guy from Epic Burger was in here with me, and there is
they're saving money by not handling cash?
I don't know if it might be that they have less employees. There's a way. They would not go cashless if they're going to lose money.
Well, but I don't get it either.
Yeah.
I want an explanation. Dean Richards will join us coming up in just a little bit.
He knows.
Dr. Most, Dr. Kevin Most, our medical expert, his brother Brad is a big advertising guru in town. He sent me a note last night on a name for the entertainment segment with Dean Richards. So we're going to unveil that pretty soon.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. More on entertainment. Don't say it so fast. More on entertainment.
Dude, what am I supposed to say?
More on.
Oh, I'm so sick.
Entertainment.
More on.
There needs to be a pause.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Wait till you hear the jingle.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me.
It's 8:14 now, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Justin Kaufman's not on the radio tonight, so he's on the radio this morning.
Yeah.
And he left his wallet home like a 9-year-old. So his wife has to rescue him.
First time I've ever done that.
Bring the wallet down.
I talked my way into the building.
Yeah.
That's not really great for security.
Yeah, right? Isn't that so? And our new friend Katie Bishop is here. She's a real estate guru, but she also, she said, man, it'd be great if I had your job, Steve, and I'd like to stab you in the back and take it. And I said, well, why not? Come on in.
I just sharpened my pencil for that stab.
So great having you here as well.
Thank you.
Dean Richards, live from Channel 9. Dean, Brad Most is an advertising big shot. He's the brother of Dr. Kevin Most, our medical genius.
Yes.
He's come up with an idea for this segment.
Oh.
Moron end Entertainment.
It? To end it?
No. Moron Entertainment.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. Here's Dean and Steve with Moron Entertainment.
Yeah. Which one's the moron, though?
Oh, no. More.
You're more.
And you're on.
On. More on. Mm. See, it doesn't mean moron. It just means extra entertainment.
It's clever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I can see a big billboard with, you know, like we're back-to-back pointing at each other.
And we're both wearing the I'm with Stupid t-shirts with arrows pointing at each other.
Dumb and Dumber 2018.
Exactly. Well done. Moron Entertainment. I've asked John moron DeCoste to get the jingle together.
Wow.
So
that's good.
All right, so I'm hearing a rumor, and you know how I worry about the Kardashians. I'm hearing a rumor that the Kardashian Kanye West merger may be coming to an end.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
What?
That's ridiculous.
Completely in love.
Nonsense.
For all the right reasons.
Publicity stunt.
You know, my friend Dr. Sam David, the veterinarian we have on the show,
is,
you know, just a little bit nuts. Mm-hmm. Indian Prairie Animal Hospital, brilliant guy.
Well, he's nuts, but yeah,
he's out in Southern California with his family, and he's got a couple of kids that live out there, and they drive by Nobu, fancy restaurant. And there's paparazzi, Dean, as you know. There's paparazzi in front
always.
Of every fancy restaurant,
always out right? there. Yep.
So Nobu being one of them. So they're not in a position to go into the parking at Nobu, but they see the paparazzi and they're going slow enough to see Kim Kardashian's walking up.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
The entire car erupts in screams. Come back. Including his son-in-law. That didn't go over real well. Yeah. So
I'd be one of those screaming in the back. I'd be like, oh.
I've interviewed Kim and I want to say Chloe. I don't remember. Kim and one of her sisters. Couple.
Zeppo?
It's Courtney and Chloe.
No, it has to start with a K, Steve.
Harpo?
Kim and Kangaroo. Courtney? Kangaroo Kardashian.
Kangaroo
Kardashian. Isn't one of them Kangaroo?
I think so. She definitely has a pouch.
I'm pretty sure. They were okay. But I've had two encounters with them.
Uh-huh.
One was at the airport. I'm in line. You know, waiting to get through security, and suddenly this entourage of about 20 people show up, blow completely past the line, and everyone else who's been patiently waiting to go through. Now, I assume that they must be
pre-check.
Foreign
ambassadors, beyond
Kardashian pre-check.
You think they're ambassadors? They're possibly they're very important people.
Yeah, there is a class above just regular pre-check or even premium or
like a pilot,
unleaded or whatever.
Than a pilot,
you assume, Dean, at that point they were worthy of blowing by the line.
Yeah, but it's just such a jerk thing to do.
It really is.
Well, it's a fairly long line and everyone's patiently waiting.
Let me ask you a question: why don't the Kardashians have a plane?
Right.
They got plenty of money.
Right.
Why don't they have Air Kardashian?
They like the attention.
The other time,
I think you're right. It's about the attention.
My other time encountering Kardashians was at the Four Seasons Hotel in Beverly Hills. So if you want to see stars when you're in Los Angeles, hang out at the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills. They're always there. And I'm going to get my car out of the parking garage. And out of the elevator, another entourage of like 20 people, and in the center of them all, Kris Jenner.
Oh. I'm sorry, the center was who?
Kris Jenner.
Kris Jenner, the mom.
The matriarch.
Oh, sure.
The queen bee.
Sure. This is the mom that had Kim do the porn tape so the whole family get rich.
Oh,
you want to do, we can do 2 hours on the Kardashians.
What mother hasn't?
Right.
Yeah, what mother? Come on, it's L.A. It's there in Hollywood.
I got to tell you, I remember when my porn tape came out, my mom was not happy. Not happy at all.
Steve, the only news that I have, I don't have anything on Kim and Kanye breaking up or any problems. In fact, they're apparently in Wyoming right now, escaping the paparazzi.
Well, the kind of talent they have, it takes a tremendous amount of work to stay on top of your game, so they deserve a break.
Mm-hmm. The other news is that Kris Jenner, the mother,
mm-hmm.
has given a story to People magazine saying how tricky breastfeeding is for her daughter, Chloe.
Oh, that's great.
She's had a baby, yeah.
She's still in Cleveland?
She likes Cleveland, apparently.
Wow.
Cleveland's fine. It's a nice town.
I knew there had to be someone.
It's playoff season. There's a lot of press there.
Yeah, that's true. They're hanging around just because they saw lights.
Once they get the offseason, she's like out.
That's the thing. I'm amazed more Kardashians haven't been killed in traffic, because if they see a light, they think it's a camera. You think they'd run right into traffic all the time.
Now, look, Steve's got just under 2 hours left in the show. If you've got a tricky breastfeeding question,
definitely call me.
312-981-7200. We are your breastfeeding station.
Kardashian, breastfeeding, Kanye, throw it all in there. 2.5 hours.
Exactly. Got it all Steve for Cochran. You today.
I have a question. If Kim were to breastfeed any more of the kids, what are they, Northwest, Southwest, East Coast,
Northwest,
whatever the kids?
And Chicago.
Yes. Would the child get
Saint.
Would the child
Saint,
get artificial
right,
milk?
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Would
the child get artificial milk breastfeeding from Kim? How does that work? I don't know how that works.
I don't believe she would be nursing.
Okay. She'd have someone else do it for her?
Well,
she had a surrogate.
So stunt nursing.
Right.
Well, Chloe could have nursed for her.
Oh, right. Chloe could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Had a wet nurse like her sister.
Is that what a wet nurse is?
A surrogate breastfeeder.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it is.
Kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is also the name of Steve's new sitcom that'll be coming this fall.
Surrogate Breastfeeder.
Surrogate Breastfeeder, Thursday nights on NBC.
It's 8:20. See why we call it Moron Entertainment. We'll come back and Dean will talk more. And Dean, I want you to meet Katie Bishop when we come
back. I want to meet Katie Bishop.
Hi, all right, Dean.
I've been listening.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard.
Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center.
Hey, Steve, you want to know what I heard?
What'd you hear?
That Beyonce's going to be at Litfest. It went so well at Coachella.
Right. So she's doing all the festivals
She's doing all the festivals this year. So, she's going to be at Litfest.
She's doing Litfest tent, Polk tent
fantastic.
At 2 p.m.
Right. That is fantastic. Dean, what is your birth month?
March.
Your birth month, you're saying it's March.
Yeah.
Your superhero name is Phantom Justice.
Ooh, damn right.
Yeah, that's good.
Phantom Justice. Yep.
Damn right it is.
I'm
right
Invisible Justice.
The Justice Twins.
That's exactly right. All right, say hi to Katie Bishop.
Katie, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you having fun or has Steve scared you?
No, I love it.
Okay.
I'm hoping to get my own chair permanently.
Morning's still young.
I have a feeling that she and Pete McMurray might be in cahoots. And cahoots, by the way, is just south of Kankakee.
Because, to take over the show?
Yeah, take over the show.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm watching her. She's shifty, but I'm watching her. We're very proud of Katie because of all the money she raises in her own fight with cancer. She has taken the initiative, and you're going out raising money for other things. You want to plug what you're doing this week?
Yeah, we are going to be at a fundraiser called Harley Helping Hands. She is an amazing person who unfortunately lost her husband to brain cancer, and she started a foundation to give grants of $5,000 to newly diagnosed patients so that they don't have to worry while they're trying to sort out their treatment, and the $5,000 goes a long way.
No question about it. HarleyHelpingHands.org. And our friend Katie here is kicking cancer's ass. She's got some great medical news recently, and the fight continues.
You can do it, Katie.
The fight continues. I just had my 6th MRI scan yesterday, and the news was all clear.
Awesome. All right. That's awesome.
Look at you show off with your all clear scans.
We've done cancer shows here on WGN probably for about 20 straight years, breast cancer and others. And it's just amazing how the technology, research, treatment, everything has changed since we started doing these shows. And that includes brain cancer. That includes most forms of cancer. We are literally kicking cancer's ass.
And Dean's a little modest here because he's been hosting these for years and he's constantly awarded for them, and he should be. And he has become kind of an amateur doctor through all of this just because of the medical knowledge you've gained by doing the shows.
Yeah,
right?
I actually did surgery on Steve many years ago.
He actually made my forehead wider. And I said, that's the one thing I did not need.
I misunderstood him.
Yes. Wider? Narrower. Wider? Narrower. I'll guess.
That's not what I thought you wanted wider.
That's exactly right.
Shoulders.
Next time I have to draw a sketch. All right, let's talk about some movies. What's out this weekend?
There is a very interesting movie that's called Tully that's opening today. Charlize Theron stars in it. It's directed by...
Justin interviewed the director.
Jason Reitman.
Yeah. Jason Reitman was in town earlier this week, and he gets together with Academy Award-winning screenwriter Diablo Cody for this movie that is about how difficult it is to be a mother. Charlize Theron plays a mother of two, has a new baby that's expected any day now. She's completely overwhelmed trying to, you know, take care of her two kids, much less a third one that's about to join the family. The husband helps a little bit, but not enough. And the story is about her trying to not only deal with all the responsibility and the sleepless nights, but also a reflection. The movie becomes a reflection of what your life has turned out to be.
Right. Are you where you want to be in life? How much have you missed? Is it over?
Right. How much has your life changed because you had a family? What were your goals in the first place that got diverted in the first place? In this family, they hire a night nanny. Have you heard of that? I hadn't really heard this.
I remember that song, Night Nanny, Night Nanny.
You know how to do
that was
it.
That's a great song.
The concept of a nanny who comes to your house at night, takes care of the baby, changes the baby when it's time to feed the baby, wakes up the mother to do the feeding so the mother can get some rest. So they introduce a night nanny into this home, and that's what brings on. She sees this young person, you know, with a life and doing things and interesting things, and she starts reflecting on her own life. All very interesting, all very poignant. I'm sure women who are mothers, really, I think anyone can kind of relate to the story, but especially mothers can relate to this. But there is a super surprise, shocking ending to this movie that is very much like I See Dead People, like The Sixth Sense, where when this...
So Bruce Willis is in the end of it?
...twist happens at the end of the movie, you go, how did I not see that? In this movie.
Does it work in the script? It makes sense?
I think it does. Yeah, I think it
hardcore,
does.
Yeah. The one thing
is it disappointing?
No.
Don't tell us.
And Reitman and Diablo Cody have worked on Juno together.
Right.
They also did Young Adult.
Yep.
And Dean, I was going to ask just about, you know, what I talked to him about was this idea that you don't see that necessarily in New Hollywood, this idea that a screenwriter and director collaborate and continue to do movies together, jumps around so much. Might have been a big thing back in the 50s and 60s, but it's not as much anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they do, but they clearly have a chemistry. They clearly like... you know, quirky, unusual films with little surprises and things. Diablo Cody very definitely has her own voice. To me, that's as crystal clear as an Aaron Sorkin movie, where you can tell when you're hearing Aaron Sorkin dialogue.
Yep. Because nobody talks like that.
Nobody does. Yeah. But it's funny, it's touching, and the surprise ending makes you want to go see the movie again, so you can see everything that you missed along the way.
Justin, you saw this, you loved it, right?
I did. I'm not a reviewer. I can walk out of any movie.
Well, let's ask the actual critic.
But I really enjoyed it.
What's the grade?
I gave it a B. I gave it a B. The one thing that I didn't like in this movie, and a lot of movies,
was how Charlize Theron let herself go.
She gained 50 pounds for this movie.
Yeah, on chips and milkshakes. Yeah. All the chips and milkshakes she wanted.
It's one of these movies where the actors, you know, do these physical transformations. She gained 50 pounds. Saw her on, was it Colbert, I think, last night? She looked beautiful.
Well, that's the thing about her. She's obviously beautiful, but man, she is a wonderful actress.
She is.
I mean, she's tremendously talented.
I gave it a gain weight acting so hard.
All the weight that I've gained, Steve, also, I'm waiting for an acting part to come along.
Yeah, that's a critic's move on your part, yes.
Yeah, just in case I ever get picked for a movie, I've already put on the weight for it. I gave it a B. I liked it. I think it's a very above-average movie. I just don't like that, you know, guys are always idiots.
Yeah.
There are a lot of men who are perfectly great fathers.
That's true.
Except they are often in movies... They're the numbskull, and this guy does spend a lot of time playing video games.
He's good at it. He's good at playing video games.
But he's a dope in the movie.
But he's not completely a dope in the movie. He's very empathetic. So it does not kill the movie whatsoever.
Katie, you know that's not true. Look at your husband.
He's not a dope, and he does not play video games.
He's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
And when he plays video games, he does it when you're not home, so he knows he won't get into trouble.
Correct.
That's it. That's
the other thing
about
that I didn't like about this movie, there are no Avengers in it.
Yeah. Right. Right. Spoken well, Invisible Phantom.
Thank you, Justice Pants.
Oh, that's right. It was Phantom Justice.
Justice Pants.
I'm Invisible Justice. Anything else opening of note this week?
There is a remake of the old Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell comedy Overboard. That is this time being done with Anna Faris and one of the biggest names in Latino television and movies. His name is Eugenio Derbez.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't think it was that funny of a movie. I thought the comedy part fell flat. It sort of evolved into a nice little romance story, though, so I wound up giving it a Dean's List C. And I cannot recommend enough the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary that opens in Chicago this week. RBG, story of her from her very humble beginnings to being a lawyer in a field that is, talk about, an old boys network where, you know, she literally was the only woman in her law school, in her early law firm.
It's an amazing life story.
It's an amazing life story to become one of the leading voices for women's rights and civil rights in general in America. I think, regardless of your politics, your positions, this movie shows a person who can overcome obstacles. Anybody should be for that.
And one of her best friends was Justice Scalia prior to his, passing.
That's a part
of the
movie.
Could have been more across the aisle from
her. Major part of the movie, her friendship with Scalia. This movie's about standing for something, for taking a position and standing.
The notorious RBG.
Right, right. She is great. And Spider-Man has a co-starring role in that movie. I'm trying to work the Avengers into everything.
Yeah. Katie, did we give you your superhero name?
No.
Okay. Obviously, Kay. Let's see what we got here for you. Okay, and what birth month?
August.
You are Steel Spider.
Ooh.
Yeah. Steel?
Steel Spider.
Isn't that the name of your car?
No, that's something else.
Isn't that the vehicle that you drive?
That's different. That's totally different. You on a radio Sunday?
I am. We're going to be talking with Barry Manilow on Sunday.
Oh, cool.
Had a nice little conversation.
I remember all my life.
Steve, I don't want to say I'm a multitasker in any way, but you know what I've been doing the entire time?
Raining down as cold as ice.
The whole time that I've been talking to you
today,
I've been shelling shrimp, taking the shells off of shrimps.
I saw you doing a cooking segment there.
Because I'm doing cooking segments today.
You little shrimp sheller.
I cooked, I did some grilled shrimp and avocado tacos. In about 20 minutes, I'm going to do Mexican street corn in a cup.
Wow. Well, you have a good time because we have Sandberg's cookies here, and that's not code.
No, that's good. And I will say, you are the guy who goes to the break room and shell shrimp. You're the guy who microwaves
by
fish.
By the seashore.
And it's also like, don't bother Dean.
Dean sells
shelling shrimp.
Dean shells shrimp by the seashore. Boy, I tell you, the license is in jeopardy. All right, man. See ya.
Bye.
That's Dean Richards. More coming up. Headlines in a moment. 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:46. Justin Kaufman's here because he's not on the radio tonight. And, I like having him around. He's not on the radio. Well, even when you are on the radio, but you're not getting up those days.
When we're not on the radio, it's awkward.
But I never see you.
Yeah, I never see you either. Yeah. Never see you, buddy.
Maybe we need counseling. And our friend Katie Bishop is here as well. Katie was such a spectacular guest a few weeks ago. We asked her to come back. And look who the cat dragged in. ABC News' Aaron Katursky. How are you, pal?
Nice to see you.
I haven't seen you in forever.
You look great.
Thanks. I'm getting younger every day.
I see that.
Yeah. What are you doing in town?
So I'm doing a series for Memorial Day that we're working on with widows of soldiers who have been killed.
Wow.
And they have gathered here in Chicago for a long weekend conference through the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, TAPS. It's this great organization that deals with widows. And so meeting a bunch of them and hearing their stories, and it is incredible to hear, free of politics and free of other considerations, just the stories of the men they lost and the women they've become.
We hear about the VA, the mistakes and the shortfalls of the VA. Do these families feel like they're being taken care of, or are there giant holes that are obvious?
I think there are some holes, and I think organizations like TAPS end up filling them because the public services just often fall terribly short, and they talk about paperwork and bureaucracy, but in the end, they sometimes just need somebody's hand to hold.
You know, think about the hundreds of stories that you've covered.
Yeah.
This type of thing, it's hard enough to take home, isn't it?
It's very hard, and but it's beautiful to hear women talk about their husbands and who they were as people and now the lives that they're trying to lead without them, with children or without children in different circumstances. I sat with three women, one whose husband had a heart attack randomly on a ship in the Mediterranean, another whose husband killed himself coming back from Iraq with PTSD, and a third who was a pilot and whose Chinook was shot down by the Taliban in Afghanistan. And just imagine the different experiences of these women, but all together with other widows sharing in their grief.
You know, Gold Star families, those who have lost somebody they love. I've talked to a bunch of parents who have lost kids, and I got a great lesson from a Gold Star dad a few years ago. And he said, you know, I said, what do you do when people feel awkward? They don't know what to say to you, that type of thing. He said, just ask me about my kid.
Yeah.
Don't ask me about, you know, what happened, how did he die, what was the accident. Ask me what his life was like. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that's the experience you're having with these women as well, with their husbands or whomever.
And I asked them how they would like all of us to spend Memorial Day, and they said, still barbecue, still, but take a pause.
Right.
Just
remember.
A thought. And that's all that they're asking for.
You still having to cover Trump?
It turns out he's still president and still making news. So we're doing that on the side. Small story.
I'm old now. I'm 57. I don't remember in my lifetime ever seeing one central figure generate this much coverage. And by the way, it's legitimate coverage.
He seems to have some things that people want to talk about.
It's really crazy. And I mean that on all levels of the word crazy. Justin, you know Aaron,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Hi, Aaron. Good to see you.
Hi, Justin.
I always wonder about, you know, especially when in the last week, and we've seen what happened with Rudy Giuliani getting in and being able to go on Fox and talk about that there was a payment when it comes to Stormy Daniels, and the president did knew about the payment, even though 3 weeks before he said he didn't, or he said that he didn't know what anyone was talking about. Does that resonate with America? Do you think that I mean, because it's not a crime to lie. But it does seem over and over that these lies are, you're getting caught in a lie, and they just kind of move on from it.
You know, I don't know if every utterance resonates. And for hardcore Trump supporters, it may all be priced in and their mind is made up. But I think there's still an obligation to be to speak truth to power. Although it's easy to get down a rabbit hole pretty quick.
I only ask and see if, you know, you talk about this a lot on the show too, but it seems to me that, I mean, they make a big deal, and Rudy Giuliani makes a big deal as well about being, you know, well, he didn't lie under oath, or that what Mueller's trying to do
ridiculous.
Is it's about perjury, that they're essentially lying is different than lying under oath, and that's right. And there seems to be at least a distinction being made by the Trump
organization. What do you think about it? How old is your son?
10 years old.
Okay, if your son said, well, it's not that bad a lie, and then started to qualify it, as a parent, you would go, no, it's a lie.
But there's something to be said that there's an expectation that we have of our politicians that they're going to be slick with their words. They're going to, that's why politicians fall down so far
the
on the list. Right?
But I think the expectation is they tell the truth.
Yeah, right. But this is not slick. This is just straight up you contradiction. This is, we said it this way, even though we knew there weren't, I mean, at least the old politicians, or at least I would say 10 years ago, even this was a knock on Obama, was that he was very casual in the way that he would use certain words and use phrases when he knew that wasn't necessary. We might be stretching the truth.
Sure.
There was an art to the massaging of the words that were being said. Now there's just straight up shit lies.
Well,
straight up no, yes, no, yes, black and white lies.
Except Giuliani is threading a very narrow needle as he says these payments were repaid not through any campaign fund, but just through the ordinary retainer that a client would give an attorney, and that the president didn't even know what the money was going to be used for.
So they're essentially
at the time.
Plausible and deniability, right?
So he only found out about it a couple of days ago, it turns out.
I know you got to run, but before you do, just a cap on this story, at least for the moment, or for the second. The standards are changing, and the people you talk to all the time, are they at all uncomfortable with the fact that someone like Rudy Giuliani and my old friend Lou Dobbs and people like that who have just decided that whatever it takes to stay relevant and in the seat of power, I'll say it.
Rudy Giuliani has often conflated the legal and the political, and I don't think it's a surprise to those of us in New York who have covered him before about what kind of person he is and what he's willing to do. But he is certainly a loyal foot soldier to the end for Donald Trump.
It's great to see you, man.
It's great to see you.
When will the story air on ABC Radio around the country?
It's going to be right around Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
And I hope you'll check it out. It's the stories are powerful, and we have a diverse array of people, not just these women here who've been gathered in Chicago, but some others who are going to be telling us some incredible stories about different experiences they've had in loss.
And excellent. Where do we follow you on social media?
At Aaron Katursky, with the complicated Russian
the traditional Aaron Katursky spelling.
Yes. AaronKatersky.
All right. All the best, man. Safe travels.
Thank you.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Katie Bishop is here. Justin Coffinger. You know, I was going to ask you, Katie, as a real estate agent, do you watch the house shows, the 9 million home redo shows? Do you watch them?
This Old House?
Or that one, the super old one, This Old House?
I don't watch HGTV, but I do watch some of the, just for entertainment, the Million Dollar Listing shows in New York.
What, but the redo shows, the makeover shows?
They ruin all of our clients.
Well, really? Tell me how.
Because every client thinks that they can, you know, redo a house and paint a house for $250, and then they can tinfoil a cabinet and it's, you know, a remodeled kitchen. No.
You need to get on one of those, like the House Hunter show, where you're the real estate agent who's like, this one's a little bit out of your price range.
It's too bad because they're all just so staged.
Yeah.
You would be great. She would be great. You'd be great on that. Your show would be Katie Bishop, and it don't work that way.
Yeah.
And then you would just go on and tell people how it really works.
Going back to that. Where's my agent?
Yes.
New show, where's my agent?
My talent agent and my real estate agent.
Where's my agent?
But those are the
Thursdays at 9.
Two main categories of reality shows now are home shows and wedding shows. Cakes and tuxes and dresses and stuff. Yeah. Right?
Well, am I missing that? What else is out there? My wife likes this one too. It's the Property Brothers guys. We like that one. That's the one where, because it's a little bit more realistic, even though none of them are realistic.
But Which one are the Property Brothers?
The two twins just turned 40 years old.
Big deal.
I don't care for them.
The one
got married, and I don't like his wife. So I don't.
Sandberg, what's the one you watch with the couple that got divorced?
Oh, Flip or Flop?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Flip or Flop.
Christina and Tarek. And that one only got more interesting when they were going through the divorce.
Well, I think their marriage flopped.
Yeah, their marriage did flop.
Or flipped? I don't know.
You know what amuses me about when you see them is when the family's sitting on the couch talking about what their decision is going to be, and then the Property Brothers, whoever walks in, and they're surprised to see it. There's lights.
All of that's the
worst.
There's
cameras. There's a setup. Somebody says action.
When you watch House Hunters, they already made the call on the house. So when they're going, I'm not sure which one. Do we like two or three? The decision's already made. That's all fake.
Yeah.
The house is already under contract.
Yeah. So it's like, well.
What about that couple from Waco with $1 billion? The husband and wife team.
Oh,
they got their own branded line. She has 47 kids. Chip and Joanna.
Yeah. Ooh, Chip and
Joanna. She's got her own line at Target.
You act like you have no idea, Steve. You're like, who are those guys that I watch all the time?
My wife is hooked on me. She watches all of them, but I see her by extension.
Sure, it's your wife, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, really. Dave, do you?
What?
Watch the house shows?
I don't watch the house shows. I watch the best reality TV.
Which is?
Sports.
Yeah, you know,
it's the only true reality TV there is.
This is a real shocker that you would watch sports.
You don't watch Real Basketball Housewives of Atlanta or whatever it is?
Well, I guess. No, I have seen it like once.
There's sports in there.
I've seen it once.
Yeah. No, I watch the true reality TV, the original Survivor.
Yes,
I'm still watching it.
Has watched every episode of Survivor since 1847 when it first aired.
I'm thinking of applying.
I'd get
ripped out right away.
No, you'd be great on that show. They'd
what
be afraid of you.
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid.
Yeah, come on.
Yikes.
You know what?
No, don't watch it.
It.
Now they have the Naked and Afraid XL.
What is that?
How do you know, Steve?
Well, I saw it last night as I was going through channels. It's just what is this?
Fat people naked and afraid?
Yes.
Seriously?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And they call it Naked and Afraid XL. I guess that's XL. Better than fat people naked and afraid. It probably wouldn't be great.
Or Husky.
Husky.
Big and tall, naked and afraid.
My Sears days.
Sears days.
Big and tall, naked and afraid.
It's not good. We'll come back. My friend Carol Debo is going to be here in a second. And Carol is one of the finest acting coaches in the country.
Awesome.
We're going to talk a bunch about this coming in the coming months, about things you can do with your kids over the summer that aren't the traditional shove them into sports necessarily.
Right.
Right.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
May the 4th. 15 years ago today, I met my mom. What? How can that be, Steve? How can that be? My birth mom, 15 years ago. I'll tell you that story before 10 o'clock. But the reason we're playing Star Wars music, may the 4th
be with you.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Were you guys Star Wars kids? See, because I missed it.
Yes,
I had a little nephew. I was, when was the first Star Wars? 77?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like
that. So I was 16 years old by then. I was way too cool.
Yeah, but that would be the time to go see Star Wars at 16.
No, 16, it was Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, okay.
I remember the first Christmas.
Where's my leisure suit? Where's my leisure suit?
First Christmas after Star Wars movie came out, everything under the tree was Star Wars.
Is that right?
Every toy. Every toy.
Yep.
And a nephew, Abraham, who I think is 40 now. Holy crap, I'm old. And and Abraham wanted all the Star Wars figures and stuff. So I have this vivid memory of him at about two or three. We go into the toy store and we get up to the cashier. I don't know if Steven ever did this. And I'd ask him for the toy. And he'd go, "No pay for it, Dave. No pay for it." Like we're going to make a run. We're going to make a run to the car. Create a distraction.
Yeah.
In for Christmas of 1979, my sister and I both got Star Wars underoos. I had R2-D2 and she had C-3PO or whatever.
Yeah, so that is his name, C-3PO.
C-3PO.
Yeah, so do you know what underoos are?
I do.
Yes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm wearing them now.
The tank top and the little underwear, but only the front has the picture and the back is just like white.
Hmm. Oh, that I did not know.
Yep.
So why are we talking about Star Wars? Well, because Carol Debo's here. Carol Debo, my very good friend, and Carol Debo is one of the finest acting coaches in the country. Let's brag about you for a second.
Wow, there you go.
Wow. Now
let's talk about your big shot client who was just up for a bunch of awards.
Rachel Brosnahan, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
That's exactly right. And who else?
Katie Chang.
What was your character on House of Cards?
Oh, she was, well, we used to say she was the prostitute, but she would rather
be called. But she actually had a name.
Rachel. Her name was Rachel.
Her name was Rachel on the show?
She prefers to be called the call girl. Doesn't love prostitute.
She's a great actress.
She's a great actress. She's a great woman.
And you started working with her at what age?
16. She was a student of mine at 16.
Did you know she was special then?
Right away.
I know it right away.
She just had it. And it's just a way that young actors interact with me if I'm coaching them. They're just in the space with me, and they get it. It's an innate ability.
So Justin and I are going to do a scene to audition for Star Wars. We don't even know if this is from Star Wars.
Is this in my pay grade?
Well, kind of. But before we get to any of that,
If we get cast.
Okay, great. I'll take my commission.
Yeah, and by the way, Katie, I want you to judge Justin and I really, really harshly as we do the scene as well. But before we get to any of that, were you into acting or anything when you were a kid?
No.
Were you afraid to be up in front of groups of people? Because you're way cool now. You're just calm as can be. You're way too calm. You're too calm.
I really liked to make people laugh. And then when they started laughing, I didn't realize that they were laughing at my humor. I thought they were laughing at me.
Oh, sure.
It was a very strange time in my childhood.
But where's your confidence come from? You're very confident now. Is it the real estate thing where you're in front of people all the time?
You know, a little fake it till you make it.
Oh, so inside you're a volcano.
Watch out.
Okay.
Well, you do have what it takes to be an actor then.
Yeah.
To fake it till you make it. That's essentially what we do. That's the heart of it.
That's what we do.
Big world to pretend. So I mentioned this before you came in today because I think it's important to give people alternatives. Sports, everybody can sign up for sports. Is there any room to sign up and learn about acting in your schools this summer?
Yeah, there is. We have a few programs that are open. We have a great program for kids that want to explore comedy. We have a guy named Tim Sasko who actually travels the globe as an improviser, and he has a 2-week comedy lab for high school kids. I think
really?
We have a couple spots. And he brings in all the top performers in Chicago. So they do sketch writing, they do stand-up, they work on improvisational skills. He's amazing. He's an amazing teacher. So there's a little room in that. We have a 2-week program for high school kids. It's intense. It's all day, and it's physical theater and monologue and scene study, and they have headshots taken. So by the end of the 2 weeks, they've really trained as an actor, and then we do a showcase for casting directors and agents in the city afterwards.
Do you still do that? Do you still do that section where you actually create a film?
Yeah, we do the page to screen where the kids write a screenplay as a group. It's got to be a socially relevant scene. We just can't write it about nothing. Right. And then we have a professional cinematographer come in and they cast it. They all have different roles. We shoot it. He edits it, underscores it with music.
Is that what Ross did? Didn't Ross, wasn't Ross part of that? Or was that a different thing?
Ross did. Yeah, I think Ross did do that.
Yeah.
Young Ross Cochran.
Yeah.
I think that was his.
Before he decided to go in the big world of big business.
He was a fine actor. As most would-be actors should do. They should think about it.
But I can't recommend what you do more highly because, you know, there's not a Rachel in every corner. There might be. And for kids that aren't necessarily into sports and they've got that that drama side or they're interested in the arts, this is a perfect thing.
You know, it's not... It is that, but it's also great for kids that just may not be physical and sports-oriented. It's a business where you have to learn to listen properly before you respond. It's a business where you need to learn to really be yourself, because if a casting director is looking for you, you need to be present. And it's great for any kid, honestly.
Sure, I agree with that.
Most of the kids don't go in to acting,
mm-hmm.
Thank goodness.
But it's so great in high school. Did you do plays in high school?
I didn't do plays in high school. I've done plays since.
Yeah.
I got into comedy in college.
It's just such a great way to get used to being in front of people, which is a skill you need for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to be confident and, you know, a little bit of fake it till you make it, but know that you are enough. And I think especially for teens, which is where we focus at the Actors Training Center, to tell teens, you're enough. Come as you and work as you. We don't want you to be anybody else. It's very freeing, and it's no matter where these kids go.
And working in groups and working creatively and collaboratively with people and strangers and getting to understand that that's how the world works.
And, you know, high school, junior high school is a tough place to be. And when you get into our place, those cliques, they go away. We don't allow any of that, and everybody just works together. So it's a very safe place. It's a really cool place, no matter whether you're going to be an actor or not.
Steve knows this. It's fake it in comedy. It's fake it till you make it, but it's also fake it till you make it till your friends make it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a true story.
It's true about you.
That's what Amy Poehler said. She had a great quote in her book where she said the whole idea of improvising is stay in it as long as you can until your friends make it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just stay in it until your friends make it.
I love that.
And no matter how stupid the suggestion is, it's the best thing you've ever heard.
Just say yes.
ActorsTrainingCenter.org for any information on what we're talking about. ActorsTrainingCenter.org. Now, you're running this not-for-profit operation.
Why do you say it like
that,
Steve?
Well, because I think you ought to be making some cash here. But the money goes back into the business, and it's all good. So you're raising money now for a larger space.
We are upgrading a new studio, which we desperately need, and we don't turn any young actor away. If they have financial need, we meet it.
So you're scholarship kids then as well?
Lots of amazing scholarship kid actors.
Well, you should have like a GoFundMe page. You ever thought about that?
It is so funny you would say that.
Kismet.
Totally. We do have a GoFundMe going on right now.
So people could help that. Now, what do they do?
I knew you were going to ask.
GoFundMe.
They go to GoFundMe, and it's the Actors Training Center.
All right, so you just search Actors Training Center, and you'll find it right there.
And you'll find it, and we're raising money for scholarships and to upgrade studio space.
And what a cool thing for kids to be able to be a part of the program, even if there's not, you know, a whole bunch of cash in the family. You don't have to...
Yeah, we're not doing it for the cash, Steve.
Yeah, I know. That's what I don't understand.
It's what the arts are about, darling. Get with the program.
ActorsTrainingCenter.org. All right, we come back. Justin and I are going to play a scene. We're auditioning for the next 14 or 15 Star Wars movies.
Yeah. You listen to Ron Howard?
There's a two-character scene. I will play the role of Thomas, wounded, injured Thomas. And you, of course, will be Rachel.
I read it as Rachel, but sure, Rachel's fine.
Rachel's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't think we should mess with the character name.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. You go one or two ways.
No
just,
respect for the writer.
I'm going to pick a choice.
Unbelievable.
I'm going to...
Can Katie and I be like extras or something?
Yeah.
Or have walk-on?
You
can
be a Wookiee. Dave,
like
if you could be a Wookiee.
Liver over here.
Yeah. You know what? They could improv.
Katie play Rachel.
They could... No, you're not getting out of this.
They can improv. They can throw something in, see what kind of reaction we have.
All right.
Yeah.
I like sound that. Effects, maybe.
Yeah.
You're a Wookiee, and you play one of the fish admiral, Admiral Akbar. So how about that?
Great.
Katie, I think we do our own scene.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, just add China.
We're going to work offline later.
All right, so here we go. We have a scene here. Now,
right.
You've read this, Carol Debo.
I have read this.
All right, so what advice do you have for us?
Well, let's talk about a couple things that we know. What are the given circumstances? What is your character, Steve?
My character is Thomas, and I've been wounded. I'm bleeding.
And
I'm,
what is your relationship to Rachel?
I'm not sure. What do you read?
I'm reading sibling.
Is it brother-sister?
I think it's brother-sister.
There's no sexual tension then?
Zero.
Okay.
Unless it's Star Wars. Oh, it is Star Wars, yeah.
And Rachel has a line that says, family has to stick together.
Okay.
So the first thing you want to do, Steve, is read your script and look for the clues.
So you look for the clues to develop your backstory?
Yeah, we call those given circumstances.
All right. Now, what about Rachel?
Well,
And by the way, Justin Kaufman is Rachel.
Right. Hello! I am Rachel!
Can we recast?
Yeah. I'm ready.
So obviously you're concerned about him underplaying it.
Yeah, I think he needs to calibrate a little bit down.
All right, so who is Rachel? Rachel?
Rachel must be Thomas's sister.
Yeah.
Right? Strong.
Right.
Carrying Thomas because you're injured.
A little bossy. I think she's a little bossy.
Like kind of a... You know,
what's happening in this world with all these Star Wars.
Right. Every time I turn around, there's more Star Wars.
Steve, are you humiliated that your sister has to carry you around? Are you grateful?
Well, it's a question.
Make a decision.
I'm questioning my manhood a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Be specific and play it fully.
All right. I'm ready when you are. Are you ready, Rachel?
I'm ready.
All right. And you call scene whenever you're ready.
Okay. We don't really do that.
Oh, okay. Then I'll start. Do you want to whiteboard it? You know.
Yeah. Okay. Take one.
There we go.
There we go.
Okay. So do you want to read the stage directions here?
How about I'll do that?
Yeah. Okay. Here
okay.
We go.
Rachel labors to bear Thomas's weight as they inch their way.
What's got
to
be a weight joke? Why do I have to throw that in?
Inch their way down a deserted road, blood dripping from his leg. He's trying to stomach an apple.
Can't you go any faster?
Shut up and eat your apple.
He enjoyed that, but every step is sheer agony on the leg.
There's a barn a little farther up the road.
A big barn, dark and damp. Rachel covers the floor with hay, then lays out her sleeping bag. Thomas looks through her backpack for anything he can use as a bandage.
You need rest.
She lowers him down, which puts her face mere inches from his open wound.
Sorry.
She cringes without meaning to.
Sorry, I know it's fine. I'm just not a big fan of blood.
You know, for such a tough girl, you're kind of squeamish.
Your fever's still up, and we've got to get some more food in you.
I'm not hungry.
It wasn't a request.
She sits down next to him and takes out a loaf of bread.
Rachel, thanks for coming to get me.
Well, family's got to stick together, right?
She starts to rise. He grabs her hand, dead serious.
Listen to me now. If I don't make it...
Shh.
But if I don't...
Before he can finish, she drops down next to him and looks him dead in the eye.
You're not going to die. I forbid it. Okay?
Okay. And by the way, you sound like a dude.
Get some sleep.
What about you?
I will. In a bit.
And scene!
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Was the room
Thank
moved?
Thank wow. You. I Thank have you. Chills.
Thank you.
Chills because it's cold in here?
No, because of Rachel's voice.
Yeah. Honestly,
Rachel was
always kind of the tough one in the family.
Rachel's not from this world. She's
I did notice that you made an interesting dramatic choice there. I thought you'd go more Mrs. Doubtfire.
I'm organic.
Say if this was an audition.
What'd you say?
No offense to you. I would call you back, Steve. You'd get a call back. Mm-hmm. You need to calibrate down a little bit. You pushed a little too much.
I pushed a little too much.
Yeah.
And for men who are playing...
Trusting yourself a little bit more.
For men who are playing women during the audition, should the beard be gone? Should he shave?
No. I think casting directors generally have a pretty good imagination.
I didn't want the part anyway, so it works out fine.
Wow.
You know,
what a terrible actor.
With the red skirt worked for me.
The red skirt is interesting. Good, and by the way, that was a choice he made before he knew you were coming in today.
No, that was just what I wear on Fridays.
All right, Carol, what's your website again?
actorstrainingcenter.org, and you can reach us at 847-251-8710. I even answer the phone sometimes.
More coming up with Katie Bishop. More coming up with Steve Stone on your White Sox, Mr. White Sox.
I love him.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that story about my mom. I turned 15 today. It's 9:34. Headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The heat tonight and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic!
Psychic!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Stone on baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Remember my slogan, Steve Stone will forget more about baseball today than we'll ever know. That's how good he is. Let's go live to Steve now on a phone somewhere in America. Good morning, Mr. Stone.
Good morning. I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm getting a chance to reacquaint myself with my three dogs, which is always pleasant. And Tom Pachurik is certainly a breath of fresh air. He's very funny. And I know along with Jason Benetti, they're doing a great job. And they had a whale of a ball game to call last night.
Your dogs are not, just to clear this up, your dogs are not named Tom Pachurik and Jason Benetti.
No, they are absolutely not. They are named Layla, Bob, and Lucky. Bob is a greyhound. Layla's a Rhodesian Ridgeback, and Lucky is a lunatic. So that's kind of the deal.
Do you ever get used to, because you've done this your whole life, you ever get used to visiting your house? Because for 6 months of the year, actually longer than that, that's what you do, right?
Well, it is kind of unusual, but that's the nature of the game. And every business, I don't care what it is, even your guys' assumed business has its drawbacks. I know, though, very few. You do have a few that you do deal with during the course of the year, but what I always tell people is if you can find a job where you work for six and they pay you for 12, don't leave that job.
Amen to that.
Well, it was a terrific ball game last night, Steve. What does a win like that do for a team which has struggled the way the White Sox have this season?
Let's take a look back at not only last night's win where they came back from a huge deficit, but also the two games before against a pretty good St. Louis team. It really shows where this team is. And you might remember as the Bulls were building to their championship seasons, they would get really close. They would hang with teams. They would get close. And at the end, the other team would take the game away. What's always happened in baseball, it's happened from the beginning of time, really good and great teams take the game away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. And teams that are building will give the game away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. The Sox are at a point now where they can hang with just about everybody, with the Houston series with an exception. They got outscored 27-2 in that. But most of the time, this team is in the ballgame, only to see later on because of some bullpen deficiencies or some defensive deficiencies or a base running lapse or offense that is consistent. They can't quite get over the hump. But it shows you the fact that they can play with these good teams for a while before finally giving it away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. This team is starting to lay the groundwork to sustained excellence. I believe they'll be right in the thick of things for quite some time as soon as they figure this out, get the younger players up here and come together. Last night is one of those exercises in a ball game, which is a 162 piece of the puzzle, where you look at it and you say, okay, we can come from behind. We can not only come from behind, but we can then win a ball game. And I think it shows the expertise of Kenny Williams, Rick Hahn, and a couple of his people who are evaluators in that front office. They picked up Trace Thompson. Now, they had him before, and granted, they knew he was a terrific guy, and terrific guy doesn't feed the bulldog. However, he will hit some fairly big home runs, and not a whole lot bigger in his time than the one he hit last night. So the team is starting to think about winning. They're starting to think about staying close for a while and then taking the game away, as they did last night. When that happens, when the team starts to believe in itself, because the coaching staff already does, the front office believes that it's just a matter of time and this team is really good, and now the team is starting to believe that. So will we have rough times? Absolutely. Yeah. Will this team struggle? Sure they will. But last night was a really good example of what this team can do when given the opportunity and all things fall right.
A lifetime Sox fan, Justin Kaufman. Say hi to Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hello, Justin.
The question I have is really about the starting pitching, because you saw in St. Louis two great starts. I think James Shields and Lucas Giolito. Last night, Ronaldo Lopez came down earth a little bit. But how do you see these young arms, maybe not Shields, but Giolito and Lopez, as the city, as the season starts to get into its middle part, as opposed to the adrenaline at the beginning or towards the end?
Well, let's not forget Carson Fulmer, who's going to the mound tonight and had two really good starts back-to-back. But you can't discount the Kansas City series. There was five games started by, obviously, five starting pitchers, and all threw very well, including Hector Santiago, who's been a lifesaver out of the bullpen. So a lot of these guys aren't going to be there when this team gets good. But certainly Giolito and Lopez will, and there's a very good chance that Fulmer will. You know, there's another wave of guys coming up from the minor leagues. You hear a lot about Michael Kopech. You hear a little less about Dylan Cease. However, Dylan Cease right now, overall, granted he's throwing at a much lower level because he's not as advanced as Michael Kopech, but his stuff is outstanding. So those are two guys, along with Carlos Rodon, that are moving into this rotation. I eventually think this rotation, although because they're not going to be veterans, it's going to be the like of Houston. Now, you can't compare any to Verlander because of his body of work. You're not going to find a Cy Young Award like Keuchel, although he's struggling this year. Gerrit Cole has come over, hasn't found his footing yet. They've got Lance McCullers, who is pretty good in his own right. I mean, they got a guy who won 19 games a couple of years ago, Colin McHugh, that can't get into the rotation.
Can I ask you a question, Steve?
Sure.
You know, the Houston Astros, and this is, I digress, we're not talking about the Sox, but there's been a lot of questions in the last couple. There was a couple of Twitter spats that were going back and forth about the Houston Astros are having a tremendous season on the mound.
Right,
and there were some questions about whether or not they're cheating, whether or not they're putting more spin on the ball. Is that something that's actually legitimate?
Well, first of all, that was raised by Trevor Bauer, who felt that maybe the breaking ball of, let's say, Verlander or a couple of the other guys maybe had tightened up somewhat. Last year, Brad Peacock went 13-2. He also can't find his way into the starting rotation. So, look, some of my friends told me, because obviously I would never be involved in anything nefarious like
that. Never.
Some of my friends told me that if you use pine tar, and I'm not talking about the dark pine tar, they told me that if you use the dark pine tar, you can actually be caught because it is dark. I know Michael Pineda
had on his neck, right?
Black spot, on his neck. And some guys put it on their hat, but it's way too obvious for guys who would decide to get an advantage. But there is a clear pine tar. There's one that's, you've seen the Manny Mota batting stick. It's a reddish pine tar. And I've been told when it liquefies, it actually goes clear. And you can put it a number of different places on your anatomy, and sometimes the umpires don't want to check.
These are places you would touch and others wouldn't.
Well, these are places that you could do that. And you could put it in a few different places that actually, when it liquefies, because it is clear, it's hard to detect. But what it does is they give you the rosin bag to dry your hand and give you a better grip. However, this clear pine tar, what it does is it makes it a little bit sticky. You usually use it depending on the pitch. Let's say it's a curveball. Use it on your middle finger, just a touch of it. And then it does tighten up the curveball because it allows you to spin it more quickly.
Mm.
Now, if we started ever cheating in this game, we'd be in a heck of a fix. I got to tell you that. Because everyone that I know has always been above board.
Yeah.
But if we did, guys would cork bats. Guys would use, you know, an unfair advantage. Guys would occasionally pitch 2 inches in front of the rubber.
They'd steal signals. Guys, I mean, you'd have anarchy.
That's right. If that ever happened, boy, our game would be in a terrible fix. But yes, there are some pitchers over the course of time that have used this clear pine tar to tighten up their breaking ball. And, you know, again, it's something that has happened since this game was invented because it was played by a group of scoundrels. And they say the only person in more disrepute than a baseball player was a lawyer. No offense to our legal community out there, but that was the early days of baseball. So now guys are always looking for an edge. It wouldn't surprise me if teams were doing that. But by the way, Houston does not have a corner on the market here, boys. There was a time years ago where the whole Billy Martin group with Art Fowler's their pitching coach, they used soap. And they would soap the inside seam of their uniforms. And they would use it and make it what's called a dry spitter. And that ball would just dissolve. You know,
how
they completed
that?
72 games.
And again,
in 1980.
Again, Steve hasn't seen any of this. He's just heard the tales.
That's a rumor. That is a rumor that I was told.
Exactly.
And that happens. And so Billy Martin could never check anybody for clear pine tar because his team was all throwing dry spitters. Well, that's a little baseball education.
You know what? This is the kind of thing. This is the kind of thing where I feel he ought to be tipped.
I love it.
Steve Stone on baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants, as always. More from Steve with Roe and coming soon to a Steve Cochran show near you.
This is the Steve Cochran show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You and me, we come from different worlds. You like to laugh at me when I look at other girls. Sometimes agree.
And
Bill and Wendy have joined us. We want to thank Katie for coming in. Katie Bishop. Round of applause for Katie.
Yeah, great job.
So Rassi, did you want to say hi to anybody or kiss up to anybody? You know, this is really what we're here for.
Oh, how much time do I have to kiss up to everybody?
Yeah, not a lot, not a lot. How about your husband? At least I had him.
I love my husband, Brogan. Thank you so much for all your support and all my people that have fought for me for the last year.
And God bless you for all the money you're raising, too. And I'm so thrilled about your health and keep fighting, right?
Thanks.
Justin, thanks for hanging out. Justin, yeah. I like having Justin around when there's no game at night because he thinks he's getting a day off. We're
right.
Actually dragging him in here.
There's a game tonight, so I'm good to go.
Ooh, double time. Double
Monday
time.
I'm back on. And I have Teller from Penn & Teller at the big table.
I just want to listen because I want to hear him talk.
Right?
Well, you're assuming he will.
Well, that'd be a great interview if he didn't, Justin. I can't wait to find out.
It is Penn & Teller. We'll see, right?
You should not ask him questions and then not let him answer. That would be great.
I'm not going to tell the mom story. I said I would, but I'm not, because you can't do it justice in a few seconds. However, I will say, 15 years ago today, I met my birth mom, and it's a great story that involves WGN listeners, which is why it's a great story. So I'm having lunch with mom today, and we'll tell you how that goes, and I'll tell the story Monday. Oh.
Good, because I actually don't know the whole story.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm not kidding.
Me neither.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you go, this only happens in movies. This could never happen in real life.
Yeah.
I was just asking you off the air the other day. I really don't know the whole story, so I can't wait till Monday.
Wow, what a good tease for the weekend. Hey, kids, listen, Monday, when I tell you why I'm 15. Katie, nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Come in anytime. Dave? Justin? But Katie? Yeah. Rockstar. Yeah. No doubt about it.
I agree with that.
What are you guys doing today?
Chicago Blues Kids, Fernando Jones coming into the studio, and we have a comedian, Steve Byrne. Very funny guy.
He's a funny guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, have fun. See ya.
All right, bye, Steve.